Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Nice to see a friendly place. Hi, guys.
Based on a true story.
Here's a real friend.
He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
And I want to thank my two buddies for taking time to join the wedding show this week. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Christoph and all the ships at sea. Delightfully non-blue.
Non-blue.
Don Geronimo.
Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Monday, 03-15-04.
Hi, Don and Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz. Now we're back from Las Vegas, live, at least physically. We're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Phone number 877-365-3636. From America, from Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067.
Yeah!
Okay.
Yeah!
Okay.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Okay.
Yeah!
Gonna start.
Yeah. The passion of the mic.
Oh, no.
No, it's a ways in.
Oh, no.
It's a ways in.
You mean I have to wait to take my medicine?
Oh, we have to do it chronologically.
Okay.
Otherwise, it makes no sense.
That's
because
right.
You go through the part of the day where we were all feeling giddy and,
yeah.
and happy.
Yes.
And then, well, anyway, wow, let me just say, what a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What a weekend.
Indeed.
We had.
I don't think we can. Well, I know I can't do that very often, or I'll die.
I don't think.
I still feel bad.
No man can.
I didn't think you could do it this weekend.
I did it.
I want to say that I know that
I don't remember a lot.
I bust my balls and I will today, but I do want to say this, and I mean this. Internally,
mm-hmm.
when this man sets his mind on doing something like partying for 72 hours,
mm-hmm.
let me say, the strength of 1,000 men.
Well, you maybe when it was happening, but certainly not after the fact. I was lucky to get on that plane yesterday.
Wow.
I noticed.
Seriously. I mean, I was not, and I woke up this morning, I'm still not feeling well.
Oh,
you're not Mickey Blue Eyes.
I could have done that when I was 25. I
Mikey
can't
Red
that.
Eyes.
At Mikey Red, yeah. That's all I did yesterday. We were waiting to get on the airplane. Mm-hmm. Right before we got our cab, I said, look at my eyes.
Look at my eyes.
Look into my eyes. And everybody really uniformly had one reaction. It was like,
oh, God.
It wasn't even so much that. You said, I said, good morning, how are you? Because you were outside before us.
Mm-hmm.
And you pulled your glasses down on your nose, and it looked like they were very heavy.
Yes.
And you pulled them very slowly down, and mm-hmm. what we saw was crimson.
And for you regular listeners of the Don and Mike Show, this is going to be one of those great times. It's happened to me. It's happened to Mike. There are parts of the weekend reenactment
mm-hmm.
that sadly Mike doesn't remember.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not.
There were things that happened.
There were things that were said of me that I had no knowledge of.
But I have witnesses.
Yeah, well, no, I know you do. Believe me, I know you do.
And what a weekend we had.
How about that fight, huh? Who won?
Okay. Yeah. Mike, see, I'm not going to start there.
Okay, all right.
I'm not, well, come on, let's do it in context.
You're controlling that.
Let's follow the... Well, see, if I talk...
I know that I started out before you guys.
If I talked just about the fight,
mm-hmm.
well, that's where we had our fight.
Yes, yeah, and I didn't know that we'd had a fight until the next day.
Oh, wow.
Which is always real bad,
yeah.
You know?
Remember...
I said a big happy to die. I said, hey, you left? Why'd you leave?
That's
because of you.
Well,
yeah.
I said, don't you remember, like, punching me in the arms 8 times? And me saying, stop it, stop it.
Apparently, I was quite the annoying man.
Stop it.
Terminally annoying.
Listen, it started as a beautiful Las Vegas-style weekend.
Sure did.
We did the show there, and was a good show, we thought, with all the HBO people, and thank
we
them.
Yeah, by that loudmouth that was next to us, it turned out to be a very good show.
Yeah, we wanted to thank all the people at HBO. We go out to dinner on Friday night after the show, and as it turns out, we go to, here's a shock, the Palm Restaurant.
And thanks to Frankie Storioni.
Frankie
was great.
Frankie,
our waiter.
The Palm. Mm-hmm. Frankie was our waiter. And he was trying to give us his best material all night, and if you're listening right now, Frank, love you. We're going to be back out in April for my brother's wedding. We'll come there.
Yes.
However, here's the moment when Frank lost me, our waiter at the Palm in Las Vegas on Friday night. He's coming by the table, and he's got one-liners, and I mean, he's dropping names.
We're a very good audience, too. And we're normally not a good audience, but we were.
We laughed and laughed.
You know, we're coming off the high of doing the show.
Mm-hmm. In Vegas, baby.
And went right to the place and started just drinking. And when he came by and he said, you see that girl over there? You know what it says on her shirt? It says guess. So I said, implants?
Yeah.
And that
was the forced joke that,
that was down to the B material.
We all determined, okay, that's enough with the jokes. Let us eat, please.
But he did.
Oh, there they are. Hi, guys.
Yeah.
But he did give us a clue as to our very first true celebrity that we saw.
He did.
At one point, our waiter, Frank, came over to the table and said, fellas, you're no longer the most important people in the restaurant.
Yes.
Sitting right up there. Are you familiar with Mr. Dennis Miller?
Dennis Miller's having dinner with the whole family.
So we,
What did we look like, mooks?
No, I thought we were very cool.
Smooth.
You know, we didn't approach him. We didn't speak to him.
Well, at one point, he said, you got to see this woman. You got to check out this woman. So I said, all right, I'll walk up to the front, and then I'll walk back.
And what I didn't realize is that we all did that.
Yeah, we followed.
There was like a parade of us all walking.
Well, I thought we were going to see, you got a different message. I thought we were going to look at Dennis Miller.
I didn't until I got up to the front, and I see you in back of me. I thought you and I were walking up to the front. Then I see Rob, then I see Buzz, right, and we're making a parade. And then I realize I'm standing next to Dennis Miller.
Right.
And we all were standing around his table just looking.
Well, now, we looked
like guys that were going up to look at Dennis Miller.
But here's the thing. They had, I'll say in our defense, they had Dennis Miller at a table as you walk into the restaurant.
They had him at the A table.
I mean,
I have to wonder if that was part of his deal, because I think he's performing at Caesars, right?
He was half in the shopping mall area almost, and half
right
in the restaurant.
Right at the
so
door.
So it's like you would walk by and go, oh, is that Dennis Miller? Oh, that, and immediately.
You couldn't miss him. If you came into that restaurant, you would not miss Dennis Miller.
But it was a great cover because no one thought we were looking at the girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I immediately
and
started.
The girl really was, you know, Frankie, overrated Frankie. I mean, I'm just, you know, I got to be honest with you.
I meanwhile, just stood there staring at Dennis Miller.
You did. You were staring
at him. Because, you know, it's one of those things. I don't want to say I'm starstruck because I'm not necessarily a fan of the direction his career is taking now.
No, right.
But, you know, back in the day, his books made me laugh out loud. His
sure
HBO
did.
Show made me laugh out loud. And I wanted to at least say hello. But then I thought, no, I can't. He's there with his wife. And then I found myself looking at his wife and thinking, well, at least there's one good thing about Dennis Miller. Here's a guy who's not traded his wife in for, you know, a 14-year-old. And, man, are there old dudes with young girls? Buzz, that guy yesterday.
Yes, you see a lot of that in Vegas, and I saw it, too.
There was a guy yesterday when Buzz and I were waiting for you guys. We were down in the lobby.
Right.
This guy had absolutely gray hair, and it was in an army flat cut, and he had an old man outfit on. I mean, you know what I mean?
He
had the jive golf shirt. He had
the high-waisted pants.
Yeah, the high-waisted
pants. Was he wearing a cabana outfit?
No, but it was close.
Right.
And we were noticing the extraordinary bosom of the woman. And Buzz said, I think that's fake. And I said, I don't, you know, do you think that she's the original one? Maybe she had the work done. And then if she turned around, it became apparent that it was like Anna Nicole Smith and that guy that he married. She married him.
I mean, was that really? It was this, like a doddering old man?
Yes. This was an old man. Like, if Imus was 200 pounds heavier with a butch haircut. That's what this guy was.
Wow.
And he had a very young thingy with him. Attractive. Who had these big balloons under her.
A PYT?
Yes, a pretty young thing.
A lot of silicone in the desert.
So anyway, I'm looking at Dennis Miller, and I'm saying, well, this got to be his original wife. You know, she's a very handsome woman. Looks like she got some miles on her. And look at this. They're doing this like a regular family that they've got.
Yeah, a big family.
Like,
yeah, lots of kids.
Not that it counted, but I think three boys and a girl. Maybe I had that wrong.
It's like a nanny was with them, too, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But, you know, Daddy's going to Las Vegas to do his dirty show. And
he's got the whole family in tow, and they're running around the mall, I guess.
Right. Bring the kids, and...
Do you think he was a little paranoid when, we went back to our table after we stared at Dennis Miller for a couple of minutes? And then do you think he was real paranoid when... We left at the exact same time he did,
yeah.
And literally walked out with his family group, like in between him and his wife.
That was our classic boner. That was our big mistake because we had gotten up. Now, you got up to look at the girl. I'll give you a pass on that.
Yes, I did.
I didn't. I got up.
I didn't even know Dennis Miller was at this part of the restaurant.
Because Frank, the restaurant guy, the waiter, had just said, and Dennis Miller's sitting right up there.
Right.
So you got up, and I thought... Well, hell, I want to see Dennis.
And then I think Rob said, well, he got up, and I'm going to go, and then Buzz said, well, I'm not going to be left out of this. And then I looked around, and we were the Mook Parade.
We all get there.
We were cool, though. Very smooth.
Not me. I was the worst. I got to be like Dennis Miller's nightmare.
We just, you know, when you're...
I'm just looking at him.
When you get to
it. And it's not even like I'm looking at a you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
A big, big star.
Right. I mean, it's Dennis Miller.
Well, he's a big enough star, but we were standing, and we were in such a position that we couldn't go anywhere. And then people were moving around. It was all we were doing was just four guys standing right next to Dennis Miller's table.
And I mean right next to his table because he was sitting very very near to the area where they greet you in the restaurant where the maitre d' says, you know, do you have
a reservation?
And as we were standing there looking at Dennis Miller and his family, people would come up and go like, Smith, reservation for four. And we'd have to move out of the way and move closer to Dennis Miller's table.
Yeah. And he was aware of us. He was aware that we were staring.
I only made eye contact one time with
I was thinking you were going to say something, but you pulled off of that.
And I'll tell you exactly why I pulled off, because I was thinking, you know, I'd had a glass of courage at that point.
Right.
And I thought, boy, I really like Dennis Miller, and man, is he funny, and, you know, I would love to. And then I realized that of all of the four of us, I was staring the most, just like standing there, jaw open, staring. And I caught his glance, and I tried to throw him the glance that said, don't be scared of me. I'm a fan, but I'm not a nutty fan. And he gave me back, and I know the look because I've given it. He gave me back the look that said, F you.
Yeah.
He gave me back the look that just said,
don't even think about it.
Pal, are you looking at me?
I think the mistake was when you licked your lip. That might have been when you crossed the line.
He could looked at it longingly.
But there was, and it was maybe, really, if I run a stopwatch here, 1 second.
2 seconds.
That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
Our eyes met that long. And I got to think, I looked into these big puppy dog eyes like, oh. And he looked at me saying, and I know what he was saying. You have been staring at my family eating our food for 2 minutes. If you come over and even attempt to speak to me,
I'll kill you.
Yeah, I'll kill your family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was it for me. That was the highlight of Friday.
Yeah, it was
seeing
fun.
Dennis Miller.
Yeah, it was good fun. We all walked out with him. In between, really, literally, I swear to God, I didn't try this, but I was leaving, and he was leaving, and I wanted to go, and he wanted to go, and I ended up, like, right in back of his wife, and he was in back of me, right?
I know, and that's...
And weren't you in back of him, or
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, and that's when he turned around and gave me another one of these looks like...
What are you doing?
And again, nothing was said.
Right.
It was just, we left the restaurant, he left the restaurant, you can go right, or you can go left.
Right.
We had to go left, I guess he had to go left, but yeah, it was like his entourage and us, and at one point he did turn around and just gave me the look like... Now, he didn't stop walking.
Stalking me.
You know, what he did, he did not stop walking. He just kept walking and looked like...
Right.
Gave me a look that said, dude.
Dude, enough. Okay. I know you see me. I know you know who I am.
Because I know what's coming up. I know that if he comes towards me, it's going to be like... And you are John Hinckley? Hi, I'm Dennis Miller. I saw you following me out of the restaurant.
We didn't mean to do that. We finished our meal, paid our check, and we left. It was just that timing.
Wouldn't it be great if the topic on his show on CNBC this week turned out to be like celebrity stalkers?
Sure.
And there were these guys.
These four guys in a restaurant. My God.
Four big dopey guys, all of them.
I don't want to get off on a rant here, but let me tell you about four guys, four mooks in a restaurant.
Wearing sport coats. So that's Friday, and then after that, I don't remember. I mean, I went to sleep.
I think we all made an early night on Friday. Mm-hmm.
We were tired.
Now here's
it's been a long day.
Point number one that I have with my best buddy Mike,
mm-hmm.
that we're out there. We've done the show on Friday night. We've gone out. We've had dinner. We've had a good time. We're gonna get back and try to get some sleep. Try to get back some of the hours, you know, and make Saturday the best day we can.
Right.
I got a call from Mike. I went to bed. I guess. Las Vegas time, like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's 1 o'clock in the morning when I'm going to bed.
Yeah, I'd turn in about 1:30.
Well,
1:30 our time.
Right.
I get a call. I don't know. I think it was 5 a.m. Las Vegas time.
Yep, because it was about 8 o'clock our time. At the time when I was certain that you would have been up. I'm not familiar enough with your schedule to know that you get up very, very early on the weekdays. And, you know, for you... You know, I guess you were sleeping in.
Well, no,
on Saturday.
I was just tired. I get up. I said,
you know, because I remember what you say on the show that you get up at like at 6 o'clock, and I'm like, I was chomping to tell Don what had happened to me that I'd done real well in the casino, and I was chomping to call you and tell you. And I figured 8 o'clock was I'd been up for an hour, and I figured that was a lock. That you know, if I was up for an hour, you were definitely up.
Now I got to sleep sometimes. I pick up the phone and go. Hello?
Oh, you know when you call somebody and it's really, the phone is like,
hello.
And he goes, I'm like, immediately I know. You know yeah. you've waken somebody up.
He goes, hey!
Actually, it starts bad like if you get to like the third or fourth ring. And right. That's when you realize, oh no.
Yes, I didn't give you a hey. I gave you an immediate, I'm sorry I woke you up.
No, that's what you said. And I said, hey, no problem.
But I still had to give you my information. Which at this point, you know, I mean, you couldn't have cared less because you just wanted to get back to sleep. But then I heard that you stayed up after that, right?
Yeah, well, it was, you know,
I've ruined it.
No, here was the conversation. The conversation was, oh, I woke, you're absolutely right. I woke you up. I said, hey, no problem. What's going on?
It was basically really, I mean, after dinner on Friday night, it was a weekend of me apologizing.
And I, you know, I don't
really
know.
All it was.
I don't know what's going on. You know, it's like, what's happening? Mike says, I hit a jackpot. I hit a really big jackpot.
Right.
I said,
it's the second one in like 2 months.
Mm-hmm. I said, that's great. He said, I thought you would be awake.
Yep.
And I said, no. And then when I...
This will cheer you up. I gave it all back.
Then when I hung the phone up, it was that deal where I was awake anyway. But this is where Mike has... Later I'll amend this statement when we talk about that as the weekend progressed. But at this point, again, I'm thinking... Now, Mike went 100 miles an hour on Friday night. Just got off the wagon on Thursday night. Rode the wagon hard Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Rode it pretty hard Friday night. I was thinking either he was pulling an all-nighter when you called me to tell me of your winnings,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps you had managed, you know, for you, a very long nap, 2 or 3 hours.
No, I actually, because I wouldn't have survived.
You had an early,
mm-hmm.
girly golf day. Right?
I had an 11:30 tee time. I moved it to 9:10, and then I got there at like 8:15, and I moved it to 8:30. So
wow.
I played golf really, really early. And that's all, believe it or not, that's what I was looking forward to more than anything on our trip to Las Vegas. It was 81 degrees, and I was excited about that. So I was really, the reason I went to bed at about 1:30, and the reason I was up and perky and energized was pure golf. That's it. That's that early season golf rush where you want to get out there. And
you won your jackpot.
And I won my jackpot, and I want, you know, because we do kind of, I think I called you... Well, we talked to each other the last time that happened to me, long distance,
right.
When I was in Atlantic City.
Right.
And I, you know, we like to share each other's little windfalls.
Sure. So anyway, this was nothing that I got pissed out at Mike about in the least.
No.
It was just, he called, he was happy, I was awake.
I think it was something like, that's great, Julian. Okay. I said, hey, I'm sorry, I'll leave. And then you didn't get any satisfaction out of, you know, normally it would be something where I tell you about the jackpot and I, you know, say, oh, really? And what machine? Oh, I did this. And then I give you the, you know, because I was really pumped to tell the whole story. And, but instead I had to provide you with one of what would be a series of apologies all weekend.
But that one was not even necessary. That one, you know, that one.
Not compared to the other ones.
You take that one back.
Right.
So then Mike's out playing golf. And I've said to it's now Saturday.
Right.
I've said to Buzz and to Robbie, you know, I got a call from Mike very early. He hit a jackpot. Do you think he went out to play golf? Do you think so? We don't know where you are.
Okay.
And at this point, I'm out on they got like a beach area up on top of the hotel.
Wonderful.
And incredibly jam-packed. I mean, for every five people at Mandalay Bay, there's one chair.
And it's a fight weekend, and so the hotel... And it's a strange property, because there are three hotels, really. Mm-hmm. And you can confuse the... if you say, I want to go to Mandalay Bay, they say, which hotel?
Mm-hmm. So...
The hotel. Well, there is a place called The Hotel.
Yeah, it gets very confusing.
I get down by this area where there's a wave pool.
Right.
And it's...
Kind of cool. Kind of neat.
Very it's nice. Very early. It's like 10:30 in the morning, yet it's jam-packed with people. So I get my chair, and the beach police come by and say, you can't have your chair on the cement. Your chair has to be on the beach. Now,
the sand.
There's no room on the sand because it's full of people. Mm-hmm. Well, this is where I made the acquaintance of Tim G.
From Peoria.
From Peoria, Illinois. He said, hey, dude, if I move my chair and get everybody else to move their chair, we can get your chair up here. Mm-hmm.
Noted sun worshiper Tim G.
Oh, my God.
So,
like he lives in the
Tim,
sun.
Right?
Tim.
Yeah.
Tim
mm-hmm.
G.
Right.
So, and celebrity he most resembles, oh, tough call.
Easy for me. Kind of like that guy from CSI, William Peterson.
Yeah, skinnier.
A skinnier version.
Yeah, but you know what's good? Curly hair, a permed curly hair, gray on top, mm-hmm. and obviously the dyed black beard.
Yes. Yeah, which was a little unkempt.
And he's one of these guys, he's really oiled up, and the guy looks like he's out there all the time because he's got that tan.
Well, from what he said to me, he is out there all the time.
Yeah, every other week.
That's what
so
he does.
The guy, what he does is he allows me to move my chair, and much to the chagrin of the other people who were already camped out there.
I was truly amazed at the competition. For the chaise lounge.
Oh, I'm not. I mean, yeah, this is nothing that is new at any hotel or resort. This is, you want
to. That's actually the one thing I did all weekend that was decent, right? Is giving up my chaise lounge for the lady.
Yes.
Right?
That was very nice.
So that's the only thing I did.
No, you did. No, maybe it was.
That can't be right.
So anyway, we're down there. We're having I get this guy to let me move my chair into the space. So now I'm talking to everybody, to all of these people that I don't know, but I think I've inconvenienced because they moved their chairs 6 inches. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah. Order a drink. Start talking to the guy. Next thing you know, well, here comes Buzz. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Rob. And and seats start opening up.
Right.
And again, it's this guy, Tim G, the guy from Peoria, who is saying, I've been here all day, and there's a seat back there that hasn't been used for over 2 hours.
Where was Seth Greenberg sitting?
I'll get to that.
I know you will.
Good.
So that worked, out. However.
Yes, it did.
It worked.
It did. Technically, it took a while, but
surprised
it worked.
Us, yeah.
So.
That was great.
Well, we got to. I'll skip to the chase on that because we got a lot of stuff. We have issues with Tim G, mm-hmm. and also issues with the guy on the Rascal that I want to get to. But at one point, all we wanted was a sandwich. This place is incredibly crowded,
so packed, and a fine property, fine hotel. Yes, but really, I believe Mandalay. I think they were maybe counting on 10 people coming to the beach that day.
I don't know.
They had a warm snap. It's not normally that warm.
No,
that too.
It was in the 80s, normal temperatures in the 70s, and it was simply beautiful. So we wanted to get something to eat. We'd been out there for like 3 hours. Buzz and I had drinking.
Right.
Buzz drinking is rum and
pineapple juice.
I'm having my vodka and tonic, and we're getting nice and happy in the hot sun and going in the water. We thought, well, Mike's here, and let's go get something to eat. So, because I don't know, Rob, are you here for that, or had you left?
No, Robin left. Out.
Yeah. Rob and I are gone.
We came in, we did our live shot on JFK.
All right.
And then,
yeah, we called the wedding
table.
Show and on the weekend
right, this
program.
Is out of order. So
off to the tables to give some of it back.
And just get to the restaurant part. They got a restaurant, an outdoor thing, by this beach and pool area, this hotel, Mandalay Bay. And they got a line up front that's got people lined up like they're going to get on a Disneyland ride.
Good thing.
And they got a big sign that says 45-minute wait. You got to check yourself in. Meanwhile, if you go around to the back of the place, there's five tables that are open.
Yeah, there's wide open, including one that's just right on the edge of the beach. And we're like, yeah, let's just park it
where we came from.
So we sit down, and I hearkened over to Jen, who, our waitress.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out it wasn't Jennifer because they all look the same. They all have implants, and they all are cute girls with
right.
those yellow bathing suits. And she came over and took our drink order, and we said we'd be at this table. And then a guy came over.
A very meek guy. A very shell-shot, scared young lad who maybe was a little over his head as far as doing the job, which appeared to be table spotter or scout.
Yeah.
I didn't, he didn't seem to be a waiter.
No, the guy came over and he said, excuse me, did you guys sign up up front?
Did you check in with the hostess?
And this is when I started my junk with her, with this guy. I said, yeah, we did. I talked to Jennifer, our waitress, an hour ago. And the guy said,
well, you're not on the list up front. There's people out there that are waiting.
And we said, well
we checked in. I don't understand what the problem is.
The guy says, well, okay, I guess you're okay. As long as nobody comes, I'll go get your menus. So we think, we got it made.
Yeah. He comes back with a menu that looked like, you know, he had it folded up in his wallet.
It was
his tiny little, that's all he had.
Right.
You know,
they didn't have any menus because they were like, so swamped.
It's like a pop-up book to Dan Snyder. This thing is so tiny. Really, you could put it in your wallet, this thing that the guy brings.
Yeah, it's that small.
And as we're looking at it, you know, we're looking at the tiny writing, we're thinking what we want to have. He leaves.
In the meantime, he said, well, you know, we were waiting, and said, well, you're supposed to be on the wait list with the hostess. And I said, Buzz, just give him a 20. Mm-hmm. Give him a 20. So, I can't take this. You'd have to see the hostess.
And then Mike,
she doesn't come out here.
Mike,
you know, like, okay.
Mike said, this is Vegas. And that's exactly how I said to the guy. He said, this is Vegas.
Give Vegas. Everybody takes money.
Give him 20. And the guy's, I can't take that. I can't. So then now here we go.
The hostess doesn't apparently leave the hostess stand unless she's going to check on people that are sitting in the seats that aren't supposed to be.
Right.
Hey, believe
we got a visit from her later on.
Yeah, she was tougher.
Our hostess's name was... the cream
Margaret Cho.
No, I'm trying to think of a hostess product. If she wasn't a Twinkie, she wasn't a Ding Dong, she wasn't a cupcake. Snowball.
Captain Cupcake?
Maybe. Anyway, the hostess comes over, and she's big, formidable woman. Mm-hmm. Looks to be like maybe Polynesian. And didn't she have that?
Yes, she did.
Perhaps a wrestler.
You're spot on with that.
She comes by and she says, what are you guys doing here?
Right.
And I said, I talked to Jennifer. Of course, I'm just talking out of my rear. I said, I talked to Jennifer. We got a reservation.
Now, he's using Jennifer, who is legitimately his waitress, who's the beach waitress. You know, they've got all these little rules about, well, I can't. And so Jennifer did come by, and we ordered drinks from her.
Yeah.
But Jennifer can't serve us at the table.
Yeah, Jennifer.
She has to serve us.
We had to walk to the perimeter to pick up our drinks.
She said, I can bring you drinks, but you'll have to walk the 3 feet to get off the concrete to come on the beach.
We said, no problem. And then you use Jennifer as our reference point that she was the one who said we could sit here. You know, we kind of threw Jennifer under the bus. I hope she didn't get in.
Well, it turns out there was a shift change, and Jennifer wasn't there anymore.
Right,
there was
some
other girl. So this waitress says to me, well, listen, regardless, you guys, you gotta move. You have to go by the hostess. And I said, I'm sitting right down here on the beach.
We've been waiting an hour.
We've been waiting 5 minutes.
We walked up and sat down.
I said, we wait an hour. The table is free. I said, I tell you what. Why don't you call Seth Greenberg right now?
At this point, I have
to. With HBO.
Because as soon as he says, he pulls this name out of thin air, this fictitious name of Seth Greenberg HBO.
I bet there is a Seth Greenberg. It's something like that. There's somebody named Seth. I know that I've heard of this guy at HBO.
You're very forceful with her about it. Listen, Seth Greenberg. What's your name?
The
only thing that was missing is you taking out the little notepad.
Honey, darling.
And her name was Lana, or it was like a Hawaiian type name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, Loy, or what do we, Loy.
Kaylani Hassel.
I'm going to go talk to Seth Greenberg at HBO, putting on the fight this weekend.
Seth Greenberg.
And let him know that we've been waiting. I've been sitting here paying $20 a drink for 2 hours. You got a table that's open. No problem. I got your name. Remember the name, Seth Greenberg, HBO.
You'll be hearing.
So she walks away and doesn't seem to want to have anything to do.
So we
and
can,
we're, you know, Don's looking kind of satisfied, like maybe this worked until I see in the distance
security.
Yeah, here they come.
Security lady coming. Security. This is now our fourth individual that we've had contact with, you know, around this this issue of getting. You know, all we wanted.
So
to
now
do is sit down and have a drink.
Now the security guy, hey, you got a reservation? I said, listen, we did. Seth Greenberg, HBO. You'll hear it. Listen, never mind.
Don't worry.
We're gonna go back and sit down where we've been sitting and paying the $20 for the drink. Never mind. But don't forget, Seth Greenberg. HBO for all of you.
We're laughing because Seth Greenberg, of course, is a fictitious character.
But
and we think it didn't really work that maybe this,
right,
you know, this is silly. Because we leave the table.
But I stayed with it to the very end.
You did. I was already down at the beach and I see you back having this lady, you know, you quoting Seth. Seth would not be happy about it.
So I come back and we go back, we sit in our chairs, and everybody's being very upbeat and say, well, you gave it a good shot.
It was
right.
funny, you know, it's funny.
And we had fun.
We think that there's not a chance.
It's over, we think.
Kalani Haslam comes back over and says, you guys still want a table?
3 minutes later.
Three minutes later. Obviously, they were concerned enough about your play acting
that
they decided to. Seth Greenberg was a real person.
They've still got 100 people that are waited for these tables. But she goes, and then we had the pleasure. She goes, we've got your table. And we all just turned at the same time. And went, nah. Never mind.
No, thanks.
Let it go.
Nope, we're all set. Thanks. We're going to talk to Seth. Thank you.
Let it go. You're going to be hearing from my man, Seth Greenberg.
Seth Greenberg.
And we just did a Google search on him. Mikey marks his 14th season as head coach of the Virginia Tech fighting whatever they are basketball team.
Wow.
That's who Seth Greenberg is.
Yeah, well, there is a famous Seth Greenberg.
Sure. Well, he doesn't work for HBO.
No, he doesn't. And we just hung out on the beach. And then, of course, the battle of the chaise lounges continued when a lady showed up and said, is this empty chaise lounge taken?
Okay, hold on. Remember it right there.
Jeez.
Remember that spot.
And that is when, to tease it, I will simply tell you, our experience with the most selfish man in America.
Oh, and I don't want to forget to talk about Tim G.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Tim G, the toe toucher.
And Tim G liked you.
And the rascal guy. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right. You proved your point. You broke into my vault. Congratulations. You're a dead man.
Maybe.
Maybe. May I ask how you expect to leave?
Do you believe I'm going to allow you to parade bags full of my money out my casino door?
No, you're going to carry that for us.
And why would I do that?
Take a closer look at your monitor.
As your manager's probably reporting to you now, you have a little over $160 million in your vault tonight. You may notice we're only packing up about half that. The other half we're leaving in your vault, booby-trapped, as a hostage.
You let our $80 million go, and you get to keep yours. That's the deal. You try and stop us, we'll blow both cash loans. Mr. Benedict, you can lose $80 million tonight secretly, or you can lose $160 million publicly. It's your decision.
The Don and Mike Show. Happily cruising aboard the rudderless ship, Don and Mike.
Yeah. Everybody, welcome back. Oh, the weather was so great out in Las Vegas.
Oh my God.
Dude, it was such Beach Boys weather.
81 degrees. You don't get a better temperature than that. Not kidding. 81.
Sitting out there, all oiled up with my buddies. My pale buddy, Rob. Yeah. God, how faggy was I with Rob. Rob really put some SPF on.
Well, Rob was out in the sun for an hour, and already he looked like a radish.
Yeah, but I've been doing that. I've been doing this all my life. I know that I can go about an hour.
You don't like the goo, do you? You don't like putting that stuff on.
No, it makes me too slick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, every time you see something my size oozing,
you got that.
Look for the blowhole.
Got that, Chief.
Thank you,
Steve. You are slick. Let me mention, coming up on the show, let's see, we have giveaways. Britney Spears tickets. Okay. I've been told that that's a big deal.
Okay.
I've been told that that's a big deal.
Well, of course it is. It's going to be a good show.
Lots of Ozfest tickets. And if you're listening to us on Live 105 in Baltimore, and Mike, I know you will be interested. We have tickets for Orioles opening day. It is the official Major League Baseball opener. And they play a little team called the Red Sox.
I'll see you there. I will be in attendance at that game.
Wow. It's on a Sunday. April 4, 8:05. Tickets now, 888-848-BIRD for your Baltimore Orioles. We'll give those away at some point. I mean, not now. For God's sakes, don't call now.
Please don't.
Wait, but we have a lot of stuff to give away, and we got some new games we're going to be bringing out.
Hope it'll be 81 that day.
Yeah. I do want to tell you, though, about this weekend, because this weekend has so many layers. There are so many things that happen.
Where were we?
We were on the beach.
Right.
Actually, not on the beach. It's on top of this hotel, Mandalay Bay, where they have a wave pool.
It's not on top. It's down on the bottom, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's outside. Not on the roof of the place.
Yeah, it's like in a little courtyard.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. My apologies on that. But they do have a sand area and a wave pool. And
yeah, it's very cool. Yeah.
You sit there and you get drunk and smoke cigars. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, Tim eased me in. Then as Buzz came up, he eased him in. Mm-hmm. And then as Rob came up, he eased Rob in. So this guy was very nice getting people to move and getting these chairs.
Sure, he was.
So I bought him a drink, and there was a guy who was right to the right of us, not actually in the lounging area because he was on a rascal.
Right.
And
I wasn't there when this happened.
Okay. The guy, as I'm talking with Tim, the guy's overhearing our conversations, and we're so close to him, he's like 5 feet away.
Right.
He starts having a conversation with the guy, the old guy, just sitting there on a rascal.
Like an older Paul Prudhomme.
Sure.
Wow.
Wow. Just sitting, just listening.
Uh-huh.
So as we're talking and we're going on and blah, 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 we find out that Tim works for Caterpillar in Peoria, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That apparently he kills at selling tractors.
Right.
Because he goes to Las Vegas every other weekend.
Every other weekend. Has a very understanding wife, I believe, that lets him go to Vegas every other weekend.
All the time. Telling me about all the money he gambles, that he has a great time. And I'm getting a little tanked myself, and I'm wild the hot sun with my friends. And I said, you know, Tim, as a matter of fact, I've got tickets. How would you like to go to an HBO party tonight? You've been so nice. And he said, I'd love to go to this party because HBO has this little shindig. So I said to Rob, if you get Tim's room number, we can have HBO send him a ticket.
Right.
And then the old guy on the rascal says, hey, what about me?
How about me?
And I had just enough to drink. I was just starting my second in the bright hot sun. And
this
I turned
is part
to him,
of the, this is the you that people don't get to see very often.
I turned to him and I said, what am I? Effing Santa Claus? I see the guy just goes,
yeah.
Oh, he slumps in his rascal. I go,
like he's disappointed.
Okay. All right, Pops, we'll get you two tickets, too, to the HBO party. So he's happy, and he motors away. And now it's just the four of us. It's me and Buzz and Rob, and we're drinking and talking with this guy, Tim. And for whatever reason, he reaches over, and I have witnesses to this, starts tickling my feet.
What? Oiled up Tim with the understanding wife who you bought a drink for.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think he's a fag.
This is very disturbing.
No, of course not. Why would he be?
Do you think he was?
Well, look at the evidence. I don't know.
Okay, well, then I say this to you. Look at me. Am I what some oiled-up faggot wants in Atlantic City or Las Vegas? But you go there and you decide that I'm the guy that you want?
Well,
I weigh 220 pounds.
You tickled no feet. That was the deciding factor.
Why did you tickle your feet? I just said, hey, what's going on down there? Because we were sitting And thank God at least that toe fungus thing is under control, that I can now go out and not feel like
it. Well, that's what it is. Tim was attracted to your very nice dog.
But you're still so weird about your feet. He probably would have gotten less of a reaction if he had dumped ice water on you. You really recoiled and your knees came up to your chest and it was,
Did he explain why he was tickling your feet?
No.
No, he never did.
You were just afraid to ask.
He just giggled.
And he never smelled his fingers afterward.
He just giggled.
You know what he did? He just sort of demurred and smiled.
I rest my case.
Said, don't tickle my feet. And again, the sheepish smile.
Okay.
My wife understands.
Yeah, so here's this guy that we've struck up this friendship with.
Yes.
I'll loosely call it a friendship.
Tickling your feet.
And listen, again, even though I don't have the toenail fungus anymore, still my feet look like Fred Flintstone's feet.
Right.
And Buzz, I got news for you. Yeah. I've spent some time checking yours out.
I know.
Welcome to the Bedrock Club.
Hi. Yes.
You know, Buzz has also done the best he can, but
Buzz has got some ugly feet too.
No, he's
one bad toe in particular. Yeah.
Really got a fungus toe thing.
Yeah, but it's not enough that you'd notice it unless you're just sitting there like I was with Buzz for hours,
staring
at his feet.
Inspired by Tim.
Now I don't know how this guy Tim ended up, you know, really tickling my feet.
Well, it's disturbing.
As a follow up, I will tell you that the next morning, Sunday morning, I was up very early out getting some sun with Buzz.
Hi.
Before Buzz arrived, Tim came by again. This is 9 o'clock in the morning the next morning.
Uh-huh.
And I've already got my spot picked out. We got a couple hours before the plane.
Right.
I'm going to get some sun. Mm-hmm. And I see him coming through the doors. It's 9 o'clock. The pool area just opening. And I go, I get the newspapers up and I put the papers up again. And I hear, hey! Hey, yo! Hey! And he's on the other side of the pool. And I go, hi, Tim. He goes, great party. Missed you last night. And I was so flipped out. I said, how are you doing? He said, come on over here. I said,
I'll be there in an hour.
He said, all right, I'll save you a place.
There you go.
Meaning, knowing I'm going to be up in my room in an hour changing my clothes.
Sure.
So that was the goodbye.
No more Tim after that.
The goodbye with Tim. So maybe you guys are right. Maybe he was a homo.
Mm-hmm.
Or
not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, no. It's just the foot thing seemed to say a lot.
Man, maybe you gave him a vibe that said you were available.
Listen, I want to say something, Mike. I'm no homophobe. We kid about everybody on the show.
I understand.
But I give out a vibe like I gave to that soccer mom on the plane.
Yes.
That's my vibe.
Pure heterosexual.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
I'm attracted in the female form.
I don't think that you would give any clues that you were interested in Tim. And no. It sounded like this was a spontaneous gesture that nobody can really figure out. So this is just something that'll go unanswered. Nobody will really understand what he was doing.
Mike, I'll cut him slack the same way I'll cut you slack. Maybe he'd had one too many.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, and since you're going to do that for me, do it for him too. Why not? Was he imbibing quite a bit?
Oh, he had been, he was drunk. I thought when we sat down.
Well, then that might be what it was.
Let's say that. That's going to be your blanket statement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I have to mention something else. I told Buzz I would rat him out on this.
Right.
Now we got to be careful how we say this with the new standards and everything.
Right.
However. For the first time ever in his adult life as a man, mm-hmm. in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. Buzz had an accident.
I did. Let me preface this by saying, you know, we'd had a short night the night before. We had a very long day. I'd gone like 9 hours without food, and then we ate this super rich meal, the one at the Palm with Dennis Miller and Frankie
right.
the waiter.
Yeah, it was super rich.
And a little something to drink, and then, you know, I'm tired, I'm feeling a little funny, I head back to the room.
Oh, hold on a second. I gotta tell you something. Rob is so creepy. Rob remembers the guy's last name. We've just been using an initial.
Yeah.
Right. Rob has Google searched him and found him.
Oh, dear.
That's
him?
Two possibilities.
Click on one of them. Or why don't you just call up? Well, no, I bet he'd still be in Las Vegas.
I don't know. I think he would be if he was just there for the fight.
Call him up and see if he come on the air and answer why he tickled my feet.
Very good.
If, in fact, it's the same guy. So, Buzz.
Uh-huh.
Had an accident.
Yeah.
Like a little squirt?
A little accident when I get back to my room.
Do I have to be careful with that?
We do.
No, here's why you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the times, Saturday night at dinner.
Yeah.
You don't remember this, do you?
The Saturday night at dinner when the
telling of the story?
When we recounted the story.
No, I don't.
You don't remember? You don't even. And that was like 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You don't remember Buzz telling that story at the table?
No, I don't remember that. I was eating my my fancy appetizer.
Anyway, Buzz didn't throw the garment away.
I see.
And it was lucky you were wearing
garment,
underpants.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So you didn't successfully make it to the room or something.
Oh, I made it all the way to the room, and I thought it was one thing, and it turned out to be something else.
Like it always is. All right.
Now it just happened to all of us. Right?
And I said to Buzz, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
And I did have to ask, well, did you toss them?
You know, I do give myself a slight pass at that early hour. I think I may have remembered some of this story, but I think I also wasn't really listening.
I was
kind of distracted, you know, just distracted in my own mind.
What, with the wine angels?
Yes. Requesting the wine angels. Which really, that was kind of a disappointment, wasn't it?
Well, that's for the next segment.
Yes, of course.
But Buzz suffered the humiliation of incontinence.
The little impromptu laundry there in my mm-hmm. room.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that I questioned when I had the discussion originally with Buzz.
Right.
Man, why don't you just, you know, certainly
to
not
discard or to clean.
Yeah, to discard, and don't even discard in your room.
Yeah.
Go, like, put it in a bag, bring it down to the lobby. And
bring it to the dumpster.
Discard it there.
No. Go down into the belly of the hotel there where we were broadcasting, find a dumpster, and hide the evidence.
But you washed them.
Or the ice machine.
Because these were so new and so nice. It was a first time wearing, and because of what I've been through medically, I figured I could handle that.
So
I did the laundry.
No welcome answer. To the club.
Thank you.
No answer at either number, but I will try later.
Very good.
Okay. Try and track this fella down.
Oh, and before we get off the beach, we'll have to do this in our next break. We did have a bit of tomfoolery and hijinks because Mike joined us then after Mike got done playing golf.
Yes, came by and stopped by to see if you guys were there, and then actually went up, got on my bathing suit, and came down to the beach.
So now it was all four of us down there.
Right.
Did you leave then, Buzz?
No, I think
Rob left.
Still with you.
Yeah,
still with you.
No, but this would have to be when we called the radio show.
Oh, no, I missed that.
Yeah, you weren't there. You hadn't arrived yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so Now it's Mike and Rob and I sitting on the beach, and Rob does this infomercial show on the weekend called The Wedding Show.
Yes.
Right? Because Rob's middle name is Make It Out to Cash. And we're on the beach, and Rob is going to call it. And again, we're not on the beach. We're at this little area by the pool where they've got
a fake
sand.
Beach. It's a fake beach.
It's a faux beach.
It's a faux beach.
It's a
but we didn't work non bleu.
A non bleu faux beach.
Right. Right.
Anyway, it's the wedding show.
The wedding show. On WJFK.
Right. So Rob does this thing, but he's not doing it this week because he's in Las Vegas. So he's going to make a call-in, and anyway, Mike...
Because he's a trooper that way. Did they pay you for that call-in, Rob?
No, I'll get him in the end.
Anyway, Mike and I were on the phone with Rob, and that made the air. We'll have that, and hold on, we're not even moved into the real meat of this issue.
Oh, no.
The real great part of this of this evening.
What part was that?
Mike, now I don't know if you can see.
I can.
Can you see?
Oh my!
I mean,
God.
I'm not kidding you. Can you see?
I thought it was a friendly tap.
It was like eight. I counted.
That's what Rob said.
Eight times. It started like.
Oh my! Like, come on.
It started like this. What do you think of this guy?
Come on.
What do you think of this guy? Then it was, hey, what do you think of this guy?
Anyway,
that's still to come.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
You've bruised me.
Well, I look forward to hearing about how I did it.
Like a banana.
Sorry about that.
You delicate
flesh.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
My big meat cleaver. Pounding, pummeling away that delicate flesh.
All you actually had to do just tap me with a pencil.
And you bleed.
I would just bleed a thousand vats of blood. Time out. More on our trip from Vegas coming right back.
This but up is next. The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned. This is for Rob. Who's the client?
Singular.
Oh, hey, roll over, Beethoven.
Roll over. I love singular because I love the rollover plan.
You know what's good about singular?
What's good about singular?
Phones are cool.
They are cool.
Turn them on, they make noise, you play games on them, and you get the rollover.
Which means you can roll over your unused minutes into the next month.
Dude, the phones. You're tripping on these phones.
You can find out all about it by going to www.singular.com for all the info.
You get crazy face plates for your phone, and you can be Austin Powers always.
Now, certain restrictions apply. You can see any Singular store for all of the details.
Singular.
It's the best, and we love it.
C-I-N, no. Mike?
Yes, I love it. You know people that love it.
C-I-N-G-U-L-A-R.
Singular. It's the greatest.
Singular.com.
Singular Wireless, ladies and gentlemen. For Singular Wireless.
Ah, there's my Singular phone now.
There's the phone.
They're calling. Hold on, let me see what they're saying. Oh, hello, Dynamite. Oh, terrific job. They love the spot.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Vegas was a place where millions of suckers flew in every year on their own nickel and left behind about $1 billion. But at night, you couldn't see the desert that surrounds Las Vegas. But it's in the desert where lots of the town's problems are solved.
And a lot of holes in the desert, and a lot of problems are buried in those holes. Except you gotta do it right. I mean, you gotta have the hole already dug before you show up with a package in the truck. Otherwise, you're talking about half hour or 45 minutes of digging. And who knows who's going to be coming along in that time. Before you know it, you got to dig a few more holes. You could be there all f***ing night.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
They're not here to make fun, not here to replace. They just want to bring back some memories. Don and Mike.
Right, ZZ Top. Well, I send a shout out to my main man, really. Mardio is back for spring break.
All right.
Always great having him around. And the more he grows up, you know, what I really want is one of these times to bring him in, to show off at how proud I am of him. And how even with me as his dad and Frida as his mom, he still turned out to be a pretty good, pretty normal kid that I love with my entire heart and am proud of.
Good
and,
for you.
And, and makes me laugh. And and I would like to bring him in to show him. But then I feel like I would be Kathy Lee Gifford at this point.
Yes.
Because he's not said, hey, Dad, I'm dying to come in and be on the radio. He right. likes it living his life. But
sure.
anyway, I know he's out there listening today.
Howdy, Bart.
Hi, Mark. It's great having you. And tomorrow, I got him. We don't have time today. But tomorrow, I have to mention this. And I don't know if my wife's going to be at work or not. If she wants to give her side of the story, she can call in. I came home from Las Vegas. The room that I painted, mm-hmm. remember last weekend?
Yeah. Pink room. Is it peeling?
No, no. Here's what she has done. He told me that this is just friggin' crazy. She put up shelving units on one wall, which is cool.
Right.
Because I painted the nine walls, and then she wallpapered the one back wall, and she has shelving units mm-hmm. that go the length of the wall. Mm-hmm. And there's about eight of them. You know what are on these shelves?
What?
Her shoes. And her purses. And it's so goddamned Barbie, Sex in the City, it drove me nuts.
You know, is this a public room, a common room?
It is the room. Once your kid leaves, you get all the house
back. Okay, yeah, I understand.
So it's an extra room that
kind of an extra closet.
Used to be a bedroom, which is now she's turned into apparently, and I didn't know this, it was going to be a room devoted to shoes.
You know what? That's more common than you think. You know who else does that? Is Tim from Peoria?
Tim the foot toucher. But tomorrow. I get her on to explain what the hell is... Because I got home last night, she said, hey, I put those shelves up. Go up and look. Because mm-hmm. now we're like the TLC Trading Spaces couple. You know, now I'm into these projects, and I go up...
She's like that lady in Broadcast News, the old movie, that has the new room for a closet for the shoes.
She's like Imelda Marcos. Really? I go in there, and I go... She says, what do you think?
It's the shoe room.
And that's what I said to her. She said, what do you think? I said... It's a room for your shoes.
The room you work so hard to paint.
She said, what do you think about the shelves? I said, oh, the shelves are great. They're top-notch. And I'm just leaning over the edge, talking down the stairway. I said, but baby, it's a room for your shoes. And I have my shoes and my purses.
There you go.
Okay.
And not just shoes, purses, too.
Tough life. That's tough nice. Life she has. So anyway, I'll talk about my family tomorrow. Also, before we got to the real interesting part of the weekend, Mike, you were not around when, after we all went to the beach. Oh, the beach. Forgot. Calling the radio show.
Yeah, we called the radio show to be on Rob's, his weekend show called The Wedding Show.
Remind me, we have to talk about Buzz Gambling next.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Yes, I heard about this.
We said Buzz Gambling. Okay, so we're on the beach.
Right.
I've had at least two drinks.
Right.
You had a drink?
I was drink-free at this point.
Drink-free, and anyway, Rob calls in to do his info show, and here we go.
I apologize for Rob Spiewak not being here in studio. He's in Vegas.
That's right. I mean, he lives a life.
seriously, that guy.
Unbelievable.
He seriously does live the life. This is Cameron Gray sitting in.
You know, people wonder why WJFK gets virtually no ratings on the weekend. You know, with this top-notch programming.
Sure.
And Rob, I know you want to...
It's a fine show, Don. And
Rob,
what do you hear later? It gets great.
Here it is again.
I apologize for Rob Spiewak not being here in studio. He's in Vegas.
That's right. I mean, he lives a life.
Unbelievable. He seriously does live the life. This is Cameron Gray sitting in for a Mr. Rob Spiewak, who's actually, I think he's going to call us.
Is he really?
Yeah, I think that might be him actually right now. Let's start the show with Rob out at Mandalay Bay in Vegas. Rob?
I'm staying at the Red Roof Inn.
The Red Roof. Nice.
I doubt it. I doubt that very seriously.
No, I'm kidding you, of course.
Okay.
I'm actually calling you from the Mandalay Bay Beach. I am poolside right now.
Oh, what a life. Someone put him in the water.
It's a hideous 84 degrees out here without a cloud in the sky. And you know how bad that is when you're fair-skinned.
Oh, it's so horrible. We miss you, Rob. Thanks for calling.
I'd love to be there. You know, it's actually appropriate I should check in with the wedding show because I have just filed a formal separation agreement between me and all of my money.
Have you lost a lot of money? Have you been gambling?
Let's just say I've had a good time.
Okay, good.
And they're always eager. They love taking your money. Boy, does everyone smiles in Las Vegas.
I don't know what it is.
They see me coming, and they I think they picture like a...
We have to paint the picture. Rob is sitting there with his big Hawaiian shirt with his shirt open, and just basking in the sun, making this phone call. Like he's the biggest celebrity in Vegas.
Big hairy stomach. Got his big, again, movie star glasses. Did you have your straw hat on?
No hat. No hat.
But as he's doing this, he is totally captivating the 50 or 60 people that are sitting.
I got a view of this. People were really laughing.
And you think I didn't feed on that?
Yeah,
and you gentlemen as well?
Yeah, okay, yeah, here we go. Back to the show.
Big lollipop. It's just a sucker.
Sucker. So you're going to be back in the tweet, though, right?
And oh, so many good stories. And I know you're in good hands with Cameron. Cameron, I miss you.
I missed you, and I'm very jealous you're in Vegas, and I'm not.
I know. You know, somehow we should swap this out. Yeah. I mean, maybe next week you can go to Vegas and I'll do this little wedding show thing.
Ooh, it's a deal.
Rob, I've got a question about Las Vegas.
Yes, I'm ready to entertain all questions about this fabulous city.
Is it true that they've just got strips of wedding chapels out there? Have you seen all those wedding chapels?
Let
me just stop by saying that's an outstanding question.
Yes. And it works into the theme of the show.
That's beautiful. What's this hostess's name, Robbie?
That was Dr. Lisa.
Well, Dr. Lisa, that's excellent. An excellent question. She understands that there's lots of chapels in Las Vegas.
Very good to tie into the wedding show.
Good question.
Probably within 50 feet of the wedding chapel by the bay here at Mandalay.
All right, now there's the first. Hear that little cranial cramp? That's the first indication that Rob has had a toddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rob's had a cocktail.
It's hot.
It's very hot.
Drinking in the hot.
There's a young couple getting married right now. Would you like to speak to the bride?
Sure.
Oh. Hold on. Let me on the air.
Hello, young couple. Welcome to What should be said is that when this call started, like a minute and a half ago, Mike wasn't there.
Right.
And then in the time that the call has started, Don has come out of the pool, and Mike has shown up at our site.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when this happens, which is sort of fun.
So I was the bride, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you get on right now, and you're the bride.
PGFK's wedding show.
Hello? Oh, this is the wedding show.
No, who is that?
I'm sorry, what is your name?
My name is Geraldine.
Geraldine? Did you really just get married?
I just got married to the most wonderful man. Made my dreams come true in Las Vegas. Let me put you on the phone with him. His name is Charles, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man, and I'm the luckiest woman in the world.
Oh, dear.
Hello? How are you?
I am going to get Rob for this.
I am going to get him for this. I'm a big fan.
Well, congratulations.
Would you send me something like a piece of cake?
Sure.
What's your name?
Oh, my goodness. This is Sharon.
Sharon, will you say I love you, Charlie?
I love you, Charlie.
I love you, Sharon. I love you.
Goodbye. Okay.
It's so pretty. It's so put upon working with Rob on the radio every weekend.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe this. Who is this? Cameron, who is this?
My name is Charlie Stuang Stabilak.
They're all Rob.
Stuangstabilak. Stuang Stabilak.
Rob?
Thank you very
much. Would you like to speak to Rob?
I got Rob on the phone. Dr. Lisa, the mental health expert.
Marcus, how are you?
Rob's psychotherapist would like to speak.
No, my name is Geraldine.
Okay, Geraldine, would you put Rob on the phone? His doctor needs to talk to him.
Is this the type of show where a girl can talk girlfriend to girlfriend?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Because I have issues with my husband, Charlie.
Okay, Rob's not taking his medication. I need to talk with him. Rob, are you near a pharmacy?
No. Oh, no.
Rob, your therapist needs to talk to you.
These girls, now, did they have any idea? They don't know what's happening.
We seem to be disrupting this show a little bit.
Well, they really, today Sharon said that she thought it was you, but according to Cameron, both of them were absolutely unaware.
All right, let's cut to the chase.
He's a very big fan.
Here's the last part.
This going out all over WJFK.
Yes, it is, Charlie.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that Cameron?
Yes, it is, Charlie.
Cameron, how are you?
Charlie, how are you, sir?
You're getting married, aren't you, Cameron?
Yes, as you just did.
Cameron's getting married.
Yes.
The program director's getting married. Andy's hosting the wedding show.
Yes, I guess so.
And you're in Las Vegas. Isn't that fun? Here's Rob.
Thank you.
Now, of course, you know, that wasn't Geraldine and Charlie. That was the talented Danny Gans and Clint Holmes.
Oh,
I forgot that line. Rob is very, very big friends.
Wow, really?
I am going to get you.
Yes, I guess that will be even. But greetings from Sin City, and love and kisses, and Cameron, thanks for filling in. We'll see you all next week
on
the wedding show.
Have a
Thank
safe trip
you.
Back.
Bye.
Bye, then.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Oh, my
Welcome
goodness.
To
the wedding show. This is 106.7 WJFK's wedding.
So she thought that it was Danny Gans.
At least Dr. Lisa was convinced that, yes, I had hooked
Danny
him up
Gansing.
With two fabulous Las Vegas performers. And I don't know if Sharon knew it was you or not, but they all know now. So.
Wow.
There you go.
Sorry about that. These machines are going nuts. Hey, that's fun we had on the
yeah,
beach.
It was good fun.
Yeah. That's good. And Rob, I just wrote random notes here as long as I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
You are dreamy, always in cargo pants.
I have to pack a little equipment sometimes when we go on these road trips,
sure.
And I don't have as much luggage room as you guys.
There's
and
nothing quite like a sensible sport coat with cargo pants.
And I thought I looked great. That may be the fashion.
With nylon cargo pants.
And they are very roomy.
And no belt. It was like a nylon belt, right?
I believe the style is called Sansibel.
And a houndstooth
like
jacket.
Forgiving room, yeah. And after a big weekend at the buffet lines, these are great pants, lots of pockets, and they'll get you right through security,
and
as long as you don't have a paperweight.
And a real nice dress jacket that you had on with it yesterday.
Very nice, Rob.
I would have looked great from the waist up.
The weekend, of course, was based around us going to this fight, this HBO fight.
Yes, Winky and Sugar Shane Mosley.
Yeah, right. So the Mike says
Winky Wright.
Right. He's gotten us into the restaurant. It sounds like
sounds like something we shouldn't say. It's Oriole.
That's the name of it.
That's the name of the restaurant.
You know, we called it something else.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Mike says, hard to get in this restaurant. I got us the reservation.
Yeah, they were real nice to do that for
us. 6:30, we're gonna hit the restaurant, then we're going to go to the fight. So we all meet. We all recharge for a little while. I actually went upstairs. It took a nap for a couple of hours.
As it turns out, I should have.
I'm sorry, what?
No, I was just going to say, and you took me gambling
too. Thank you for reminding
just
me.
For a
Hold
minute.
On.
Yeah.
This is part of the best.
Just before dinner.
And you didn't, I don't know if you heard it or not, Mike.
I did hear this part of dinner.
Here's the great part. We say to Buzz, come on, you have to gamble with us. And Buzz says, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
You're not a gambler, Buzz. You don't like it.
I don't even see the attraction of it. No,
I
had a private conversation with Buzz, and
right.
Part of it was, he said, it's the pressure that I feel when all these people are playing, and it comes to me, I got to make the decision too fast. And I said, listen, I've seen people who are sitting at these tables, and the dealer explains the rules and says, you know, don't worry
about
it.
If he's a good dealer or she's a good dealer, they'll you know, shout out your number.
Patient. Yes, I noticed that. So it was Rob and Buzz and me, and we got over by the table, and it was a $10 minimum. Now, I'm not being a show-off. I pulled out $200.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Rob pulled out $100. Buzz pulled out two fives.
At a $10 table.
$10 minimum. Which is enough.
There's my minimum.
To play one hand.
Right. One hand of blackjack.
Uh-huh.
I'm ready.
He puts down his two red chips.
Let's go.
And they start. The dealer starts dealing, and Buzz loses.
Gone.
And you're
done.
At that point.
Quite. Well, I would have liked to have been.
He's ready to walk away, but what I do is I take $10 of my chips, and I just slide them over. Come on up, Buzz. Get into this.
Just to have Buzz get in the spirit of the game.
Mm-hmm. Play the next hand.
Never has anyone looked more out of place.
He looked very unhappy. We play the next hand, he loses the next hand, then he goes into his wallet, grudgingly goes back to his wallet. And how much did you pull out then?
I think I ended up 30 of mine and 10 of yours
more,
that I lost there, yeah.
So he played a couple more hands,
uh-huh. Right?
And here.
Did he win any hands?
No, and
no. That's your introductory experience.
I did slot machines. I lost those. I did roulette. I did the three rounds of roulette. I lost that. The only jackpot I had all weekend was the accident out in my room.
Wow! But the highlight and Buzz.
Yeah.
I do have to rat you out on this.
Go ahead.
Can I about what you said when we were playing cards?
This is funny. I remember this story from dinner.
Okay, so Robbie was sitting on one side of the blackjack table, and Buzz and I were sitting next to each other. And I'm saying to Buzz, just calm down. And as the cards come around, add them up in your head. If you got a question, ask the dealer. Right. Ask me, I'll give you a hand. And he plays another couple hands, and Buzz says to me, okay, I'm just having problems keeping up with the rules. He said, how much for a face card?
Yeah, I didn't know if the face cards had different values, and if so, what those values were. I don't know. I don't care. You know, that's just me.
Your stab, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You're funny. So
you
didn't know that it's a 10? So I said,
I figured one of them was.
I said, king, queen, jack, all 10.
Uh-huh. As well as 10 being 10. Yeah.
And then once I think you grasped that, then it got into weird territory.
Just out of curiosity, in your mind, what would you think?
Well, I would think if a 10 is a 10, then a jack would be an 11 and a queen would be 12. And, you know, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Isn't he great?
He's amazing.
Isn't he great?
You may be the only person in Las Vegas that had that issue.
And I think
probably
when you play Buzz Jack.
I'm looking forward to going to the Excalibur next time to play War.
They do have Table War, Casino War.
Very cool.
I do think that if Buzz could grasp the rules, that he could get it.
Well, I'm sure your math skills are solid.
Probably,
right?
Yeah. Well, unless I'm under pressure.
You know. Didn't you have the opportunity to double down once?
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, you know what he did? He pulled a 5 and a 6. He had an 11. And as everyone knows, you almost have to double down.
Unless the dealer's showing a 10.
Right.
I would have doubled down if I knew what that meant.
And he got a nice 3 to go with it. And then the dealer, I think, drew to 20. And I believe we just said, Buzz, put 2 more chips up there. And he, you know, followed directions.
Right.
And then he lost 20 instead of
10. And then he got very mad at us.
I bet you were angry at that point.
Not really.
Well, no, you kind of had a look that said, you know.
Did it say naturally?
Yeah, that's what my look said.
Thanks, guys.
No, my look said naturally. No, I blame no one except the games themselves. I just don't care. I don't get the attraction.
He's got the 6 and the 5. And Rob and I both at the same time say, double down.
Right.
Double down. Okay, next card, and we're going, next card, come on, come on, let's get a face card, come on.
Did you win any hand at all?
No. The whole time we were in Vegas, I think I gambled about $80 and lost every penny of it, and what drives me crazy about that is, if I had taken that $80 into, like, Tower Records, I'd come out with a stack of CDs and have something to take home.
But now you have a lifetime of memories of you had an accident.
You got to
play roulette.
Well, you're better off probably not gambling, because I know. Lord knows I've lost thousands of dollars gambling in casinos, and I've won, but I've lost more than I've won.
Someone had a very valuable $80 lesson, and some of us can spend thousands of dollars and never remember.
Thank you, Rob.
And then we went to dinner.
That's the part of the... that's the part of the show we'll get to now.
Okay. While you guys were napping, I will tell you that I was ramping up. I was done with my golf match. I went upstairs right after I saw you at the pool. I was only at the pool for about maybe even less than an hour.
Yeah, like a cameo. You weren't there, but you're not a pool guy.
I hate lying out in the sun, and that's why I gave that lady the my seat, because I don't like sitting on the... I hate it. I don't like baking in the sun. And while you guys were like down there and then maybe going back and taking a nap, I immediately went upstairs and showered and hit the tables. And, of course, when I hit the tables, it was really time to begin the free hooch.
Okay.
Which happened to be, unfortunately, Irish.
So you had at least 2 or 3 hours start on us before dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, see, now? See, I didn't know that Friday or Saturday night when we went to dinner. I didn't
know
that.
Certainly a 2 or 3 drink start.
You actually, when you met us for dinner, you said you had a 7.5 hour start.
Yeah.
Before dinner, as opposed to, say, 2 or 3.
Yeah. Well, no, 7.5 hours, that would have been... That's what you said. Was that right?
Well,
when did I leave you at the pool?
Yeah. Maybe about 7 hours.
Yeah. Sounds right to me, Buzz.
Because remember, Buzz, we are on East Coast time.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Right. Mike left at 2 real time, East Coast time. So yeah, you left us at about 11. You were gone for about 6.5 hours.
There you go.
Just about. Okay, time out. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, have you ever wondered how things really work in a presidential campaign, like how a candidate really gets elected, the things that go on behind the scenes?
Now you can get the whole story on Staffers, a groundbreaking new series from the Discovery Times channel.
I dig the Discovery Channel. I like all those channels. I think, don't they listen to the show? Aren't they around here somewhere?
Yes.
One of those channels is. Anyway, also, great stores.
Mm-hmm.
But this show takes you inside the campaign bubble and gives you a peek at all the backstage drama that you were not supposed to see.
Staffers is a six-part series that's not about the candidates. Instead, it follows a few of the people who dedicate their lives to getting their guy elected.
18-hour days.
Thousands of miles and lots of caffeine.
Don't miss the most exciting new series to hit television this year.
Tune into the Discovery Times channel Tuesday night at 8:30 for part one.
Go to the store, buy a plush animal. It'll give you a chance to catch up with the trio of young staffers. Oh, I'm sorry. Tuesday night at 8:30. Give you a chance to catch up with the trio of young staffers in their quest to find a way into the West Wing.
And at 9, it's a brand new episode as you join up with the Kerry campaign.
Staffers, that's on the Discovery Times channel. Hey, who's your favorite DJ? Sing our names.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Jam Singers.
WKJF.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
The whole Judy Garland thing kind of turned me on. Does that make me some kind of fag? Oh, maybe your money.
I don't think she liked me anyway.
Oh, Mike, I'm telling you, man. She thought you were money.
I don't think so.
I heard them both talk.
Both those girls thought you were money.
I just don't think she liked me enough.
Baby, you were so money and you don't even know it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Nice! The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Hey, Tony.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good Sopranos last night, huh?
Yeah, very good one.
I like the whole show this year. It's just hit its stride.
Yeah. Best part, I thought, was when... Well, two best parts. First, when Carm and all the mob wives are attempting to watch Citizen Kane.
Yes.
And then later when Tony said to Steve Buscemi that Carmella goes from zero to bitch in 5 seconds.
And we didn't see it, but of course, another guy got whacked.
Yeah, so that's two for two. Mm-hmm.
Two episodes. And maybe they've gone back to that formula.
They know what we want.
You know, one murder per episode.
Sure was a good one. Oh, and how about when Tony walks in and Steve Buscemi's giving the guys massages and Paulie Walnuts is going... I didn't realize how tense I was there.
I didn't realize how tense I was, Christopher. What is the deal, Christopher?
And when Tony says to him, no more fat jokes.
Yeah, it was great. It was solid. It really was. Solid episode.
Good episode of The Sopranos. Listen, one note here. Have to make a quick FCC witch hunt update for you.
Yes, so witch hunt. More fines.
Okay, let me walk you through this. There's the disc jockey in Washington, D.C. His name is Elliot in the Morning. Mm-hmm. That's most of the DJs who... You know, I've always had a theory. If you got to have in the morning after your name and you're on in the morning, right away you're telling the audience you're a dope.
Yes, something very stupid about that. I've never understood it.
You know, you're in the morning. Of course, we get it. So, anyway, as we mentioned on Friday, he was fined by the FCC for... we can't repeat what was on his show.
No.
Now, it's important to note that just... 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago that
3 weeks,
Clear,
I think.
3 weeks ago, Clear Channel Broadcasting fired this guy, Bubba the Love Sponge,
right,
for stuff that he had done on his show, I think, going back 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they fired the guy, and they paid this fine. And here is what the member of Clear Channel, the president, the CEO, John Hogan, here's what he had to say when he was in front of Congress.
I hope that we never receive another notice of apparent liability.
Now, let me say that on Friday, mm-hmm. Clear Channel did receive
mm-hmm.
a notice of liability for $247,000.
The same Clear Channel that dropped Howard Stern
right.
from all of their morning markets.
And right. Yeah. So now this guy who works here in D.C., he gets this. So here's what the guy said.
Mm-hmm. But if we do...
And he did.
This is what we will do.
Okay, this is very important now, because this was 3 weeks ago when his butt was on the seat in front of Congress. Mm-hmm. Here's what he said.
First, the DJ who has been cited will be automatically suspended, and we will conduct a swift and thorough investigation.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, we'll require that DJ and those involved with the production of that program to undergo remedial training on the FCC indecency area.
Okay, now the first part is the most interesting.
Yes.
If you really want to take this guy John Hogan at his word.
I hope that we never receive another notice of apparent liability.
Okay, you did.
But if we do.
You did on Friday.
This is what we will do.
What will you do?
First, the DJ who has been cited will be automatically suspended.
Okay.
Automatically.
Yeah. Here is what they're saying now. Let's see, who is it that explained? In a statement released by Clear Channel, the company says, quote, it's taken the lead in combating indecent content over the airwaves. They explained that the incident involving WWDC morning DJ Elliot Siegel occurred nearly a year ago.
Yes.
Prior to the adoption of the company's zero tolerance policy.
Oh, so now if it happened a few years ago.
And he said,
like the Bubba the Love Sponge thing.
And listen to this. Now we've decided that we're going to put this guy's show on a 7-second delay. I'm fine with that if the guy gets a pass. But hey, dude, hold on a second.
You dumped Stern from your airwaves. You fired Bubba the Love Sponge for indecency. Come on now.
Was John Hogan under oath when he spoke to Congress a couple of weeks ago?
I don't think those hearings put people under oath. I don't think they do.
So I guess you can lie.
I hope that we never receive another notice of apparent liability.
Okay, you did on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You did on Friday for the disc jockey in Washington.
Now, meanwhile, you've dropped Stern from your markets, and you fired Bubba the Love Sponge. And it's just, and it's not that we want anybody else fired. It's just that I feel that this is not right.
Listen, this guy, Elliot Siegel, he would have been fired if Clear Channel had been called in front of Congress this week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Like Bubba. It was the same reason, you know.
And this guy, Hogan.
I
tell you. This guy's shifty.
Yeah.
This is shifty. 2 weeks ago, if this happened, you're fired. Now, though, now that he's gone and lied to Congress, just listen to this.
I hope that we never receive another notice of apparent liability.
You did.
But if we do.
You did.
This is what we will do.
What will you do?
First, the DJ who has been cited will be automatically suspended.
No, you didn't. You didn't do that, sir. No, you lied. You lied to Congress about your new zero tolerance policy.
And we will conduct a swift and thorough investigation.
There's nothing about anything going back a ways. And technically, the guy you did fire, that was for something that happened several years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And
the guy Bubba the Love Sponge, they fired him off tapes from 2001.
Right.
God.
Secondly, we'll require that DJ and those involved with the production of that program to undergo remedial training.
Liar. Listen, here's where I just draw the line. It's one thing for Congress people and senators and Republicans and Democrats. They're caught up in this because it's an election year.
Right.
But listen, John Hogan, you're a broadcaster. Dude, when you get in front of Congress and you say you're going to do something, either have the stones to do it or don't do it. I mean, it's fine if you're going to give this other guy a pass.
Yeah.
Here's what I say. Why not give Bubba the Love Sponge another chance?
Exactly.
Why not give Stern the same chance?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? This fight is not even about us. I mean,
it's not fair. It is really not fair.
We're on Clear Channel stations. They don't have a problem with us.
Jesus. Let me see if I got some more of this guy. Where are you?
Hogan.
Let me see.
Hogan!
Got some more of him. Hold on a second.
Unbelievable.
The first element of the initiative is company-wide training. This will entail indecency tutorials on what the FCC does not permit broadcasters to air.
Okay, now,
how do you give a tutorial when the rules are vague anyway?
That's right.
All right, hold on a second. Now, let me just... this guy, Elliot, I already said I feel bad for him. He's got a lawsuit against him, a defamation. We've been through this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win those things. So I feel bad for this guy.
Things are not going well for him overall.
Now, keep in mind, I'm going to play a tape of what the CEO of Clear Channel had to say. I'm going to read you as much as I can of the transcript of what got out over the year, and then listen to what this guy said. Morning show promo containing dialogue about Ron Jeremy's 50th birthday, aired at 5:51 a.m. on March 13th, 2003. When asked, and incidentally, that wasn't that just like a year ago?
Right.
Not even
right,
a year ago. When asked what the interviewee liked about the porn star, an unidentified female voice responded, "The way he licks."
Yeah, and then you
said a word. Stuff, right? Said a word that, you know, we can't say. Stern can't say. In that context,
right.
You just can't do it. They got a letter of a inquiry. Then I got the thing here. I got the words of a woman on the phone with his video every day. Again, the bad word, and then the stations that run this guy's show. He's syndicated to him. We must be Howard Stern because he syndicated to two radio stations.
Is that how many stations he's on? I thought it was nine.
No, he's on three.
three.
He's on three. So he's got his home station here, and plus the station that we have in Ocean City,
okay,
and one in Richmond.
Ah.
Now, here's where Clear Channel really is dumb. They did this. They got the guy saying this, or the person on the show, whatever it is. They thought that that was such a great moment from the show.
Mm-hmm. That they put it on a promo.
That they put it on a promo.
Wow.
And they re-ran it. Let's listen again to John Hogan.
I'm embarrassed to be here. I've read the transcripts of the Bubba radio show. As a broadcaster, as the CEO, and as the father of a 9-year-old girl,
uh-huh,
I'm ashamed.
Really, what's different between what Bubba the Love Sponge said and what this guy said? How come you're not, here's all I'm asking for. How come you're not ashamed? And John Hogan, I know why. Because you're not ashamed of any of it.
Right.
You're not ashamed of any of it, you son of a bitch. You liar.
It was all lies.
You're just lying. I mean, at least be up front. Our guys have told us that they're going to lie about it. Our guys have told us that they're lying. We know that they don't mean it.
Yeah.
Our guys, I say that, you know, joke.
Because you know, our guys are deadly serious about this.
Yes, they are.
But listen,
yes, we're kidding.
To be associated in any way with those words. They're tasteless. They're vulgar. They should not, do not, and will not represent what our radio stations are all about.
Hey, dude, sue me for slander. I dare you. You're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
You're a liar. What you said before Congress, you have just contradicted.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're going... And the issue is not that we want to see anything happen to another disc jockey.
No,
the issue is that we feel bad what's happened to the other guys, because it's just not an even-handed policy.
And
I would think that both Stern and Bubba the Love Sponge have an issue here with it as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to do it, you do it.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't get... I mean, so it's okay for some guys, not okay for others.
Apparently.
Come on.
What is this thing you handed me, Rob? What is this thing?
That's from the notice of liability that they issued about Elliot.
Okay, what is it? Unlike some broadcasters, Clear Channel recently has agreed to pay an unprecedented fine without contest for past indecency violations. In addition, it announced a comprehensive program to reduce the likelihood of indecency.
Mm-hmm.
Zero tolerance policy. Yeah, zero tolerance.
And there it is. And now you're going to file it where it belongs.
It's not zero tolerance.
It's not. And it's not right. And
it's one thing for the government to be two-faced and to be lying. I think that we've all come to the realization that that's happening.
Yeah,
but the radio guys, who are also two-faced and liars, come on. But you got to.
You're going to make the big dramatic thing, and you're going to make, you know, you're going to take a livelihood away from you know, Bubba the Love Sponge,
and then
you're going to dump Stern, who, you know, doesn't need any more money. But
he's,
I mean,
fine.
You know, come on.
Listen to what we've been reduced to. We're here pleading the case of Todd Clem, or is it Clem Todd?
It doesn't matter.
I just think we need to remember that Clear Channel has a sum tolerance policy.
Anyway, that's it. Hey,
wow.
John Hogan, how you doing? You're as bad as the guys that were asking you the question.
And you know, it's just more evidence of how people are going absolutely nuts and overreacting.
Dog and pony.
I hope that we never receive another notice of apparent liability. But if we do...
You did?
This is what we will do.
Okay, tell me what you'll do.
First, the DJ who has been cited will be automatically suspended.
Okay.
And we will conduct a strike.
you lied.
Yeah.
Right there. You lied.
Yeah.
So
they're adding a 7-second delay.
And here's the thing. We're not advocating that anybody be fired.
No.
Here's the thing. Clear Channel, Infinity, all of your radio companies, why don't you just make a decision?
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious Clear Channel's made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
The guy lied when he said, if there's anything that's indecent, we're not going to tolerate it.
Right.
And the fact that he's using the double excuse of, well, it happened before
mm-hmm.
we decided this, doesn't wash, because you fired
a guy where it happened many years back, too.
Right.
Same thing.
Jesus. Somebody, just play it straight. Anybody.
And in Stern's case, they took him off the stations.
Right.
You know, and that had happened prior to it.
But now they've added a delay.
Yeah, now they got a 7-second delay. Well, there you go. There you go. That's usually your noggin, Bennett. Way to go. Good move.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Okay, so that's, listen, that's it. I'm out
of the... You know what it is? And it's just another example of the craziness of all this.
I'm out of the FCC today. That's it. I got it off my chest.
And you had to. And you know what?
That was worth mentioning.
When we heard that tape, and I forgot that that's what he said in front of Congress.
Of course he did.
Wow. Pretty interesting stuff.
Of course he did. He meant it. He really meant it. Mm-hmm. That guy, John Hogan, mm-hmm. you can believe that. When he was sitting in front of the Congress, and he had all kinds of things happening in his body that day. Things were getting tight, and things were loosening, and mm-hmm. And he was sweating, and he was... And
it was almost as bad as Buzz.
And he would... You know what? I'll tell you. I'm speaking for John Hogan.
Uh-huh.
Frankly, he would say anything to save his ass.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is... Dude, you got to mean it. You got to say what you mean and mean what you say.
Well, they tend to record those things.
He mentioned his daughter, so he had to have been sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess what happened on the Bubba the Love Sponge show, that would not be okay for your daughter. But what I'm reading the other guy said, that would be okay for your daughter
to
hear?
It wouldn't be okay for my daughter to hear.
Well, I guess it would be okay for John Hogan's daughter.
But you know what? And as I've said all along, you know, this is the way we've always felt about this. I'd also have a volume control, which I've used with my daughters in the car many times, and that's what everybody should use.
That's the common sense.
That's what it ought to be.
That's common sense. And the broadcasters should, somebody should just say, listen, this is what we're offering. It's what people want to hear, and it's a small percentage of the population that likes
it. It's a small percentage of the population, and if you're, you know, if you're in the car, there are certain shows that are on that ought to be turned off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really. But of course, it's your freedom to choose. The way you raise your kids might not be the same way I raise my kids, but it's your right to do it any way you want.
It should be.
What Hogan wants is a family-friendly, savory interview with Ron Jeremy.
Anyway, hey, John Hogan, I got some issues with you.
Mm-hmm.
10800 Main Street is where you can find me.
You want to duke it out with him in the garage.
I'd like to call him on this.
Yeah, somebody should.
You know, you put our boss up there. You put the boss of MS Broadcasting up there. You don't see our guys falling back two weeks after they make a promise.
Mm-hmm.
To the United States of America.
That's right, Don.
I mean, you're not just lying to me. You're lying to America.
America. Mm-hmm. And we know already that you bleed red, white, and blue.
Cut me.
We've established that already.
You'll see it.
It's pretty.
Cut me and you'll see it. Hey, Mike, great news for you.
Yes.
That the part about the weekend that involves you, we're going to have to get really compress here.
I don't mind that.
Okay, so here's the deal on Saturday. We're going to go to the fight, the HBO fight. They hooked us up with
We all meet for dinner at 6:30 Vegas time.
Right. Great seats. And I know right away, as soon as I sit down...
I make the reservation for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to put as much good stuff as I can.
Thank you,
after
Mike.
I gave the lady my seat. That's it. That's the only good stuff I did.
Great.
Mike's already in his mood, because when we sit down, the first thing you say is, where's the wine angels? Were they wine fairies? Or
wine
no,
angel.
Wine angels.
Wine what angel. It is, mm-hmm. it's this restaurant that's famous. I've seen it on, you know, I think we mentioned the Discovery Channel. I've seen it on one of those travelogues where they show the wine angels. They got this big tower of bottles of wine, and they hook these people up to bungee cords,
mm-hmm.
and they go up and down, and that's one of the big things. And we're sitting there, and there are no wine angels. And I didn't see wine.
Now, I was counting at the table. There was four of us. I think there was only one who really wanted to see the wine angels.
It would be me, only me.
Didn't you even ask for a wine list just so you could see the wine angels?
I did indeed, Don.
So then the waiter comes by, and Mike says, hey, where's the wine angels? So the wine angel, the girl gets in a harness.
But does a demonstration. I guess not a lot of people were ordering bottles of wine.
No.
So what we get is a demonstration of the wine angel where she shoots to the top of the tower and then comes right back down and then disengages.
You were not happy with that.
Well, I guess you'd have to go 6:30, a little the early crowd, the older crowd perhaps, and maybe later on about 9:30 is when you get the serious wine kind of
I'm sure. So you weren't happy with that.
Well, I was happy that they actually did it. I said, there goes the wine angel, but then she was done.
But then when it was done, you said, hey, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I did.
You did.
I probably said that loudly.
So you do remember.
What's the big deal with that?
You do remember the deal.
Whoops,
with
you do. Come on.
And come on. I think dinner was uneventful. I was tired. I had been out of the pool. I'd been drinking. I'd taken a nap. And on more than one occasion during dinner, this is when this started. You would just tap me on the shoulder during dinner and go, hey.
You know, it was a friendly tap.
It started off being friendly. Mm-hmm. And at dinner, you tap me on the shoulder. Hey, come on. Have another one. Have another one. And I said, I already had one. You said, have another one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first indication that it was going to be one of those nights. We get down by the fight, and we have great seats. How many rows away are we? Like five rows
five
away?
Five rows back.
Five rows away from the fight. And all of the celebrities are coming in,
mm-hmm.
and that's when you started. You were sitting to my left.
Mm-hmm.
It started out very playfully.
Right.
Because you said, do you want to make a bet on the fight? And I said, no, you just won that jackpot. I don't want to give you my money. And you go, aw, come on. And it started like that with a push. And mm-hmm. I went, no. Come on, I don't want to bet you. Then as the fight got closer, you said, hey, come on. And now the open hand has turned into a fist. And it's like this. It's, hey, come on, let's bet. Just $100.
I remember that.
And I said, okay, $100 on Winky.
Now, the fight's going at this point.
Yes, now right? The fight is going. And,
as anybody that watched the fight, it's not apparent that there's anybody. It's a very, very evenly matched fight.
Close fight. But every time Winky, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Winky Wright.
Mm-hmm. Every time Winky gets a shot in.
Yeah.
You turn and you go like this to me. You go, that's my man, Winky. Now,
we didn't bet though, right?
No, we didn't.
There really was no bet
because it was around.
We in fact, you had offered to bet me, and then I pulled out of the bet on Friday's show.
After about the fourth time that you really started punching my arm, I said I was kidding. Talking to the Three Stooges, I said, don't hurt me. Stop hitting me. You're hurting me. Well, you didn't.
I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear this. Yeah. And at this point, the fight is not the greatest fight I've ever been to. And
I didn't think so. You know, I talked to a buddy of mine that watched it on TV, said it was a fantastic fight. So maybe it looked a little different when we were there.
Well, we started heckling. Now, keep in mind, we're in a boxing arena.
People are cheering,
you know, there's
shouting.
3,000 people there.
We're kind of going, come on. You know, especially when one guy gets a punch in and kind of knocks the guy back. You want to see him finish. You
and know I know, I mean? I know. One of the things that I screamed was, you know, do it for our list. Now we have a bunch of HBO PR people in front of us,
right?
And the one lady turns around and says, "Hey, listen, this is a working area."
Now, that's the lady. Was she with HBO?
Yes, she was PR with HBO.
Oh, really?
The redhead?
Well, then we're not getting invited back.
She said, this is a working area. I said, oh, come on, we're having some fun. And then Rob started doing his... And even Buzz was yelling like...
I looked around. I didn't see anybody working. Nobody was sketching notes into a pad. I think we were simply rooting for the fight.
And we were yelling stuff like... Do it for home box office! Yeah. You know, dumb stuff like this.
So friendly crowd. I mean, the best way to get us to keep doing it is to turn around and say, shut up.
So the girl gets mad. This is after the third round. She gets up and she leaves. Now, while she leaves in the time in between the rounds, Mike turns to me again and says, what about this fight? I told you, Winky! And he goes, what do you think? Now this time I showed you the bruise on my arm. I mean,
sorry,
you friggin' punch me in the arm.
It was still not, you know, the intent was not to injure.
I'm still sitting there, but I'm thinking Buzz now has already gotten up and left.
Yeah.
Buzz has said goodnight, and
I was frightened. I was frightened by the less than friendly PR lady.
Yeah, she was not pleasant.
No, it just wasn't pleasant. So I mean, she wasn't pleasant from the minute she sat down in front of us.
So right. Buzz leaves. And Mike now has hit me in all this time. I said to Rob.
And you're tired, and you're getting ready to leave.
I said to Rob, I'm really getting angry, Mike, over here.
I was unaware of this.
He's slugging me, you know, and he's like slugging me as his buddy, but it's like, I keep telling him to knock it off. And then Coco, the lady that we had on the show Friday from HBO.
Yes, the lovely Coco. Yes.
She came over, and I heard you chatting her up about...
And she's also talking to the not-nice lady.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
right.
And then the not-nice lady leaves. Mm-hmm. And Coco says to me, what was going on there? And I said, oh, we're just like yelling Arliss and stuff
we're
like
just
this.
Just having fun. We weren't, mm-hmm. I mean, we weren't
and at this
disrupting
point,
anybody.
Mike says, hey, and this was the last time that you punched me in the arm. You went... Hey, girls! Talking to Rob and I. She's on our side! And I had your boozy, hot breath coming at me. You just hit me, I swear to Christ.
I hit you the last time.
The ninth time in the arm. You hit me in the arm, and it's like, I just said, that's it. I leaned down, I said, good night, pal. I put my hand on Mike's shoulder. Good night. I left. Now, this is the...
And then Rob and I watched the rest of the fight.
This is the beautiful part of this. The next morning.
Yeah.
And I'm plenty hot at Mike because I got up.
Well, I got up. I had no idea that you know. I thought you were done and that you were, you know, just frustrated with the whole thing. I had no idea, and I mean no
idea. I know you didn't.
That you had left because of me.
This was the funniest part. Mike's so hungover in front of the hotel Sunday morning.
Catching the cab.
Stand outside to get the cab, and he comes over and he says to Buzz, "Where'd you end up last night?" Buzz says, "I went to my room. I was seeing." He says to me, you know, all happy and stuff.
No, I said,
you,
I said, where'd you go?
I said, where'd I go?
Here's how I go. I remember this part. I said, well, why did you leave? And you said, because you were annoying me.
He said, I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, you said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I left because you were annoying me. And I didn't know that I'd actually
and you said, what,
caused a bruise.
You said, what did I do? And I said, you started tapping me at dinner. And then, right. like, during the fight, you were really hitting me. And then
I didn't say girls also at the end. I said ladies. Why do I now? It's a moment of clarity.
Ladies, she's on our side. Yeah. She wasn't even getting into what was it. You were yelling at Rob and I about this, right. And I just said, forget it. Mike said, so you were mad at me? I said, oh, man, I was steamed at you. It's like you're...
You were so annoying.
You're jerking.
And, of course, I'm helpless at that point. I'm just sitting there, oh, my God.
And the thing is, Mike didn't even... how can you be mad at your best buddy? Mm-hmm. He doesn't even remember. I said, don't you remember? You kept hitting me, and I said, stop hitting me.
Man, you know what? I do remember the ladies thing that I said, but as far as the multiple blows to your shoulder, nah, wasn't tracking with that at all. And all I know is I got... up and because I got frustrated right at a certain point, Rob. Yeah. Right towards the end of the fight, I got up. I said, "This sucks. This is like nobody's knocking anybody else out." Yeah. You want to see a knockout when you go to any fight.
Hot and cold on Winky and it went round per round, like round 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Right.
Finally, got so upset because, and I think you were right. Winky wasn't ready to close the deal.
It looked like Winky would stagger Sugar Shane a couple of times, and then he wouldn't go in for the kill, and that drives me nuts. And I'm a big boxing fan, and I hate it when that happens
between the 11th and 12th round.
And all I know is that I walked out. I got up out of my seat. I started walking for the exit, and then I'm having a conversation with a guy that's in the front row of the bleachers section. I'm having a conversation with a total stranger about how I think the fight is fixed.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of that, too.
And at that moment, apparently, while my back was turned, something happened, and you could enlighten me. Was there a knockdown that I missed?
10 seconds of the round, because you know you get that click, click, click sound.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah. Winky got in one punch, and Sugar Shane fell to a knee.
Oh.
But they didn't give him a knockdown.
Okay.
So that's what happened.
And then the fight was over.
It was a decision.
And then you went out and had...
I went to the Luxor.
More of a night.
The Land of Pyramids.
I went to the Luxor and had more. You know, it's free out there. Did I mention that?
And you know, I won't embarrass you. What'd you say?
He was walking like an Egyptian.
In the pyramid.
That's right.
It's a pretty impressive hotel.
Great place.
I won't embarrass you by playing the message that you left last night.
Yeah, well, I followed... I was perfectly sober when I left that message.
Oh, no.
I meant it, too, but
I
really thought...
Oh, I know
thought,
you did.
Because when you got off the plane, I thought Tom was still mad at me from my evening, and it's frustrating because I don't know.
I'm just tired.
You don't want to. Yeah, I mean, it's tired. It's a long flight.
And it's like, we
waited 3 hours on the tarmac in Las Vegas before the plane took off.
So the message I got from Mike was so funny because it was serious. It was, hey, I'm really sorry I didn't realize I've been hitting you. I didn't realize I've been hitting you. I'm really sorry that I ruined Saturday night. And then and then he said, I don't know if I should keep drinking or not.
That's the truth.
Oh, that's cute.
My vote would be no. Based on the fact that it's just, 24, 48 hours now until...
Look around cafe.
Yeah. Patrick's there.
You got to keep those demons in the bottle for your grand opening.
I got in more shots than Mosley did. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, my shoulder looks worse than Sugar Shane. I saw Sugar Shane Mosley after the fight walking around the hotel. He looked fine.
It's the only thing. It's the best seats to a fight I've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrific. And based on that lady that was in front of us, I'd say it's reasonably certain we'll never be sitting there again.
I think we're okay.
You think we'll be okay?
Yeah, I saw her as I stormed out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
It was cool?
She said, where are you going? And I said, I'm leaving. It has nothing to do with you.
Oh.
It has everything to do with the gentleman sitting to my left.
Oh, you threw me under the bus to her. Well, I was perfectly nice to her. I don't think I had any conversation with her at all.
No, we're okay. We're okay.
Did I, Rob?
No.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Very nice.
Excellent. Thanks.
Very nice.
Oh, glad it's over.
So we get back. We get back, and I walk through the door last night, and Frida says, you know, hey, did you have a good time? I roll up my sleeve, and I go, look what he did to me.
Oh, no.
And she says,
oh, no.
She says,
And it was really the backhand thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the backhand thing.
And then later, though, became the fist.
Oh, so sorry.
And she said, mm-hmm. You sound like a married couple.
Yeah.
She said, are you mad at him? I said, yeah, but he was drinking.
I'm sorry there was spousal abuse in our relationship.
It's okay. He was drinking. I said, DeFrieda, I said, you know, I've seen him hit other people before when he drinks. Mm-hmm. He didn't hit me. I said, but he didn't.
Well, no, let's clarify.
He didn't hit me out of anger.
I don't hit people out of anger. And he did. Well, not all the time.
I'm thinking about, like, well, no, there was, but
Dennis Reese.
That guy hit you first, though.
Yeah, Dennis Reese.
He cold cocked you first.
Oh, Dennis Reese hit me hard.
I understand you wouldn't hit him if mm-hmm. you didn't love him.
He just wouldn't listen.
Okay.
I know. Oh, God.
Anyway, that's it. Thanks to HBO. Had a good time in Vegas. Oh, coming up, Harry Hitler and Johnny Gacy.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, we have that cheese thing. Is that it, Robbie?
Is it Johnny Gacy or Jeff Dahmer?
Oh, hold on. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. It's Jeff Dahmer. JD.
Jeff Dahmer.
JD. Hold on. Blessed are the cheesemakers. All right, that's our wacky interview. So we'll do it. Thank you. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You look tired. Yeah, I just, I've been burning the bulb at both ends, that's all.
Oh, man, I know what you mean. I'm doing the Fox movie right now. I'm
Just try opening a restaurant sometime.
Hey now.
Thanks.
Hey.
Look around, cafe.
Please, no back talk. The Don and Mike Show.
And you, my friend?
Yeah.
My buddy?
Yes.
My radio buddy for over 18 years?
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow I'll read the article that you've given. The press you've given.
Yes, I've given a little press.
For your new place.
Did you clear that did you talk to the powers that be? I'm not going to be fired for speaking to a reporter.
I have not mentioned it to anybody, but if you're fired, mm-hmm. I wish you well.
Thank you.
I stand by you, of course. You want to get some bub for...
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
I do. We're very excited.
And you've given an article that made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You've given a response to an interview that made me laugh. We'll hear it tomorrow.
Technically, that's pub.
Pub. P-squared. All right, Buzz, yes. Let me see. You're the announcer here. It's the Harry and Jeff Show.
Right.
Because remember, they took away our other names.
Right, I know.
So now,
hi, how are you?
I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer, and we're going to talk cheese.
So, Buzz, as soon as I give you the high sign,
I'm ready.
This guy, when I push the button, he's on the air, and he'll hear all of this. So, if you're ready,
yes.
The guy's name is John, and you told him he's going to be on with...
Harry and Jeff.
Here we go. Buzz.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's the Two for the Road Show with your hosts, Harry Hitler and Jeff Dahmer. Now, here's Harry and Jeff.
Thank you, Buzz. Happy Monday, everybody. Past the hour. Hi, happy Monday. Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer, and we're really excited to be with you talking cheese right now.
I want to mention something right now. We're back with the FCC, and going pal, son, Mike, doing a wonderful, wonderful job. I want to say our topic today on the Harry and Jeff Show's cheese. And I don't want any of those jokes about cutting the cheese.
No, we don't accept that here. You go to another location if you're looking for that. We're talking about real cheese. And cheese makers.
Real cheese. Hey, everyone. Happy Monday. This is Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer.
Drive time 17 past the hour. Traffic, weather, together coming up. Let's welcome to the area. So John from Madison, Wisconsin. John.
Hi, guys.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the show.
I understand you're the big cheese as far as the cheese festival or championship that's coming up, huh?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
What kind of cheese? I want to tell you something. Just this past weekend, I was watching the NASCAR. The cars go round the Atlanta. And Bob Hitler got some beautiful Colby
Jack squared.
Oh, that's delicious. I love Tell-Bay Jack.
Absolutely.
Great texture and a great flavor.
That's what I tell her. Oh, I said, get a toothpick and put it in the toothpick. And then when you put them on a little paper plate, and it's like you got a delicacy while you're watching the NASCAR.
It's a little square magic meal. Are you a fan of Tell-Bay Jack, John?
Well, Mike, I'll tell you what. I'm a big fan.
I think you got my name wrong. It's Jeff. Jeff Dahmer. And this is Harry Hitler.
This would be the first time this has ever happened.
Is this the first time we've ever had a guy that knew it was us?
See, this is the problem when you have a show that you're really...
See, we're on in Madison, aren't we?
Yes, you are.
But aren't we only on like for 1 hour a day?
You're heavily edited.
Yeah, heavily edited. But still, you got... Oh, listen.
Oh, that's a shame. We were getting set to do our phony voices and do the cheese interview. And is this a first?
Yeah,
we've done millions of these phony interviews, and that's the first time we've ever been busted at the beginning.
John, I guess congratulations are in order.
Well, thank you.
Winner! Yeah, there you go. You got that. I'll give you the double chime on that one. Okay, so...
It's the World Cheese Championship.
And it's not as much fun when we
can't use our funny little voices.
If we talk to you in our real voices, it sucks. So do you have a website or anything you want to plug? Because you stumped the stoop here.
Or do you want to play along?
Rob. Now
spoiled.
The fantasy is ruined now, Rob.
Do you have a website, John?
It's lengthy, but yes.
All right, go ahead then. Go for it.
What is that?
WIS Cheese Makers ASSN.org.
Are you at a slot machine right now? What's that dinging? What is that noise in the background?
That's my mom calling.
No, what is it? Seriously, what is that?
I just had to throw it in the lake.
Is that a phone?
Yes, sir.
Ah, what an interesting ring that is.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, well, anyway, you got us. So you're having some cheese festival.
It's the World Cheese Championship.
In Madison, and you got us. I want to tell you, you got us. Drive 20 past the hour. You got us this time, but next time we might get you, because until next time, don't forget that our time is your time.
Why don't we just do one thing with them, and we'll use our phony voices. Can we at least play the Round the Horn Cheese game?
Of course we can.
And where you name one, I name one, and then John names one, and whoever can't name them a cheese is the loser.
I just wanted to say it, and now it's 20 past the drive time. Take time out for the children. They are our future. Take it from me, Harry Hitler.
And me, Jeff Dahmer.
Kids come first on the Harry Hitler, Jeff Dahmer show.
That's for sure.
All right, let's play the cheese game.
Do you want to start?
Yeah. Oh, are we doing
it? Are we going to do it for real, or are we going to do it...
No, let's do it for real.
All right, do it for real. And you know how this works. Donald say a cheese, I say a cheese, then you say a cheese, and we do it until one person's out.
American.
Oh, but only from the French Comté region.
No. Dumb it down for us, dude. Okay, I'll
start. I think we're going to get wasted.
I know we'll get hosed, but start right. With American.
Cheddar.
Pilsiter.
What? All right, I give up.
Winner.
We lose. You win. Thank you. Goodbye.
Good luck with the World Cheese Championship, John.
Bye.
Thanks, Harry.
That's better.
Jesus Christ.
He was a savvy guy.
How come the radio service doesn't call that guy?
I don't know.
What are the odds of that?
So how'd that interview go?
Hey, but let's play. Can we at least play the cheese game among the three of us, please? No? You don't want to? You said American. I said cheddar. Rob?
Blah. All right, Colby.
Monterey Jack.
Camembert.
See, I quit.
Brie.
Stilton.
Mike.
Roquefort.
Pepper Jack.
Mozzarella.
Swiss.
Provolone.
Ooh, good one.
Rob.
Ooh, am I out?
Three, two,
are you cream.
Cream. What?
Cream cheese. Cream cheese, yeah. We'll give it to him.
Astasio.
Cottage. Ricotta.
Cottage.
Oh, well, you can't jump with another one.
All right, you can't use ricotta.
Do I have to come up with two now?
No, you
just have to do one, but I've already claimed
it. Did I say mozzarella yet?
Yes, you did, and ricotta doesn't count.
Why not?
Because you came right in, you piggybacked it on all cottage.
All right.
Romano.
Parmesan.
Blue.
You said blue already.
Oh,
blue has already been said. And besides, this is non bleu.
Non bleu.
Non bleu.
Wait a minute.
Pressure now. Mike, if you hadn't had so much to drink all weekend, you'd kill him at this game.
Drinking cheese.
And Mike?
Congratulations, winner.
Congratulations. You had a moment there, Rob, but you came back strong.
King of cheese.
There is a guy. Now, this is actually going to be a good segue. There is a guy who is going to be potentially the king of cheese.
Really?
I'm talking about body cheese.
Oh.
Have you heard the story that Star Jones is getting married?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the deal is that Her boyfriend proposed to her at halftime of the NBA All-Star Game.
Okay.
This has already been historically proven. This is bad. Ahmad Rashad asked Bill Cosby's TV wife to marry him on the NFL show.
Felicia. Mm-hmm.
They get divorced.
Yeah.
Well, now Star Jones, who, you know, is just could not be lovelier.
So
give me the bag of flour.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this guy named Al Reynolds. He's a Wall Street banker.
Okay.
He proposed to her on the NBA All-Star Game. And there are stories now coming out that he has a checkered past.
Oh, really?
It's not that he's done anything illegal.
Okay.
But that he gets around.
Yeah, he's a bit of a womanizer. Is that what the rumor is?
No. He's a manizer.
A manizer.
Oh, yeah.
A la Liza Minnelli and David Guest?
Yes, he likes mayonnaise. let me see. And you can say that. That's certainly something we can say.
Of course. He's a big sandwich eater.
let me see. There is a story in the New York paper today that recalls Al Reynolds, who's the guy, he's proposed to Star Jones.
How are you, Al?
They say that he shared a house in Fire Island, and he showed up at a mostly male Halloween party dressed as Bam Bam from the Flintstones. It was just a little Speedo swimsuit, and he carried a bone.
Really?
Okay, guys. Folks,
I'll bet.
You're on your own there.
Mm-hmm.
So, they call the Merrill Lynch, where the guy works. And here's what he had to say. My fiance and I, and you make of this what you will. This
okay,
is,
all right, let's hear the quote.
From Al Reynolds. Maybe a homo, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
And let me also say, he's engaged to Star Jones.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, so he's got a lot, there's a lot mixed up in that head.
Mm-hmm.
Quote.
Guy from Peoria?
My fiance, no, he's not like Tim G. My fiance and I, how do I do a black gay?
My fiance and I.
No, forget it. I have discussed all relevant parts of our personal histories.
Oh, good.
We are satisfied that we know everything we need to know about each other's pasts and are looking forward to our future together. We ask that people respect our love and commitment to each other and refrain from destructive rumor, gossip, and innuendo as we happily plan our marriage and life together as husband and wife. Translated, hey, no offense, he's a faggot.
Oh, God.
I mean, how else do you read
this? He seems to be saying that.
If the guy's not a faggot, the guy comes out and says, hey, listen,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
That's
right.
What the guy says. The guy comes out and says, I got nothing against gays. I even went to a party once wearing his Speedo, dressed as Pebbles and Bam Bam, but even though there wasn't a Pebbles there, it was just me. But I'm not gay.
Well, do you think he's changed the lifestyle? I mean, what is that quote? Or is this in his past?
Mm.
I mean, I think we know from our good friend Homo Joe that, you know, you could be in one part of your life, you can have a heterosexual part, and then...
Guy, Al Reynolds, his brother, let's see if you recognize this name, Mike, you're a Giants fan. I didn't recognize this, I think I'm a football fan. Ed Reynolds, New York Giants linebacker, New York football Giants?
I don't remember that guy.
Anyway, that's this guy's brother. He's been dating Star Jones since November, and her open-mindedness about his past will seem odd because she was labeled a homophobic back in January.
What did she do?
She said on The View that she and her boyfriend had gone to a Jamaican resort that did not rent rooms to same-sex couples. A View rep said at the time, Star Jones did not endorse the resort's policy, and that she had her boyfriend had only gone there to use its nude beach, and they're very religious, and they want to start a family.
Oh, it's fascinating.
But,
huh?
But eventually, the pictures of this guy dressed in his Bam Bam suit are going to be out. And,
of course. Well, you know, when you marry a celebrity, that's unfortunately what happens nowadays.
That's right. Well, you know, I'm sure
they'll be very happy.
If I'm a gay guy and I wanted a fag hag to be married to, you know, you got to figure that it's not, you know, satisfying her. It's not going to be that tough. It's called Haagen-Dazs. You know what I mean? Don't worry about it. And what you do is you feed her up. You get it. She comes home at night. He's, oh, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, put your feet up and let me feed you some food. Meanwhile, the whole time you're taking that big paycheck from the view.
Right.
And you just deposit it. And,
yeah.
You know, a couple of years from now, you're buying a very, very big casket. then you can run
away. So you think that you figured out his divine plan.
And then you run away with the guy who's Fred Flintstone, the guy you really love.
The rumor in showbiz circles is actually the marriage is just a ruse and an excuse for her to buy an 8-tier cake.
Mike, have you ever wanted to smell like Britney Spears?
Oh, constantly.
I think it's what
I live for.
I think we rubbed up against some women in the early morning hours who smell a lot like Britney Spears when we're in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Of course, she had to deal with Elizabeth Arden that she's going to make her
own fragrance.
Yes, blah, blah,
because
blah,
she
blah.
Probably just doesn't have enough money.
That's now, right. What are they going to call it? Well, maybe they call it Oops. I get it. Oops, I did it.
Oops, I did it again.
Mm-hmm. Or Toxic, her new song. Anyway,
I think that's a bad omen if you name a fragrance Oops.
She's not.
This is my opinion.
Yeah, cleaning product Oops.
She's not the only one. Jessica Simpson also coming out with her.
Yeah, hers is a great. It's just three letters D U H. Jessica Simpson's Duh. What a lovely fragrance. You know, when I'm getting ready to go out in an evening, sometimes I forget to put on the correct pair of shoes. But I always wear my Duh.
And I think the Britney Spears should be called DNA.
DNA with a picture of her and that guy from Louisiana on the cover.
Just a dab of DNA behind my ears, and I'm great with my Britney, whatever it's called.
DNA, the new fragrance from Britney Spears.
I don't know if you got a chance. We were coming back last night, and I had to TiVo all this stuff, but Frida mentioned to me that she rarely tapes 60 Minutes,
mm-hmm.
but she did run tape on the very end when Andy Rooney was going out of his mind. That he criticized Mel Gibson a couple. Remember we talked about this, Andy Rooney
right.
criticizing Mel Gibson? Well, last night on 60 Minutes, and I wish I had the tape to bring it in. And remember he said that after all of the stuff about the movie came out, he said that, what's that guy's name, Pat Robertson?
Mm-hmm.
He said that guy was nuts
right.
because he had a conversation with God. And he also said that Mel Gibson is a kook. So he starts reading mail last night on 60 Minutes. All this guy got was hate mail. Over 300,000 letters, including, and I'll give Andy.
And haven't we discussed Andy Rooney that at this stage, as he's waiting to be on the other side of the dirt,
yeah,
he probably just doesn't care anymore, right?
He doesn't care. You could buy the casket for him before Star Jones.
Right.
It's great because he read the letters. They were letters that called him asinine, letters that called him a bottom feeder, a bottom dweller, called him numbskull, called him a lowlife, called him slimy, called him sickening, called him gutless, called him spineless, called him ignorant, called him pot-licking, cowardly, pathetic, and some guy called him a little weasel. And then Rooney said that his critics even take shots at his age. Of
right.
course, it's come on, it's so out there.
Yeah. But I think, you know, really now I encourage him to stay on as long as possible because he's that curmudgeon-y that he doesn't care. I'm going to look forward to his commentary.
And Bill O'Reilly, who has never met a story that he doesn't want to put his big square face into.
Right.
I guess he said that Andy Rooney's too old to do the job.
Oh, of course.
And Andy Rooney said, "That wasn't nice, Bill. I didn't get old on purpose. It just happened. If you're lucky, it could happen to you."
Yeah, he's got a hell of a point.
He's lucky.
I like Andy Rooney. Yeah. Andy Rooney's been entertaining people for many, many years, and I think he ought to stay until it's his time to take a dirt nap.
More than Bill O'Reilly's done.
I think that time has passed. I think he is dead.
To put it in perspective, he was filing stories during World War II.
That's right. And he goes back that far.
Wow.
Last thing here before we get to a phone scam. We do want to get to your calls. 877-365-3636. Canada, 800-636-1067. Call now for the phone scan. I just do have to tell you about the story about Demi and Ashton.
What's up with those lovely pair?
Just when you think it don't get any better, they showed up at the Beverly Hills Kabbalah Center. You know what Kabbalah is?
Mm-mm.
Kabbalah is Madonna's made-up religion.
Okay. She started it?
Yeah.
It's a mystical spin-off of Judaism.
Okay.
So, but Madonna made it up, essentially, which is why these Hollywood stars...
I like the mysticism.
Why these stars are going to this. Demi Moore and Ashton Kushner showed up.
I love you. I love the way that you pronounce his last name.
And I can say it correctly. Ashton Kutcher. No, I can't. Ashton
Kutcher.
No, it's Kutcher.
It's Kutcher.
Is it Kutcher?
Kutcher.
Kutcher? It's not Kutcher.
Yeah.
You're playing with me.
In the old days, I would have a wonderful joke
but it was
a shortened Russian name. And I'll let basically people try to figure that. Rob has gotten it. Congratulations. Yes. You shortened it from the longer Russian name.
Anyway, listen to this. This is what they were wearing when they show up at this fake religious thing. They were wearing pink and blue toddler outfits to celebrate the festive Jewish holiday of Purim. I always thought that was a dog and cat food company.
I thought that was.
Purina, yes. But no, it's Purim. It was a wacky party. And this is according to the San Francisco Chronicle. It must have been warm inside, because when Ashton came out, his T-shirt was covered in his sweat, and his butt flap from his diaper was hanging down. At 4 a.m., Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore were drinking alcohol from baby bottles.
Oh, dear.
They left the party and drove to his Beverly Hills home.
Wow. That is disturbing. Now, what is the deal? I mean, is she poisoning his mind or what?
No.
My thought is that's more mystical and less Judaism than
you
start doing that.
Yeah. It sure does sound to me like a guy we had on the show years ago. This thing called the Diaper Pail Club.
Yeah, Diaper Pail Club. But they all like to like dress in diapers.
Like
and
babies.
And they love the baby bottles, mm-hmm. too.
My God, what is that? So she's wearing pink and he's wearing blue toddler outfits. Keep in mind, these are adults.
Yes.
He's wearing a diaper and his butt's hanging out and he's drinking like Miller Genuine Draft
out of a baby bottle.
They thought it was a costume ball.
Okay, that's all I got for you today. Now, let's dive on this. Your call is a phone scan line straight ahead.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what happened to the music there? Hey, this is really a great place. Thank God our clients are not like this radio thing.
Yeah, we got great clients.
For instance, you've ever wondered how things work in a presidential campaign, how a candidate gets elected, the things that go on behind the scenes?
Now you can get the whole story on Staffers, a groundbreaking new series from the Discovery Times Channel.
It's a show that takes inside the campaign bubble and booble and gives you a peek at the backstage drama you weren't supposed to see.
Staffers is a 6-part series that's not about the candidates. Instead, it follows a few of the people who've dedicated their lives to getting their guy elected. 18-hour days, thousands of miles, and lots of caffeine.
It won't give you a staph infection.
Not at all.
Tune in to the Discovery Times channel Tuesday night, 8:30, for part number one, as we join up with the Kerry campaign staffers, part of a year-long lineup of campaign essentials only on Discovery Times.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right, that's it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right, we're in the victory circle. I can't get it. Ow. Ow. Here it comes. Hey, shake it, yeah! Yeah!
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, time out. Hold on a second.
You play the wrong song?
You bet. Smile. Hey, I like this. A little smile for me. And it's not for the gal from the Dick Van Dyke Show. Send it out to her, though. 545. Hi, Rosemary. This is for you.
Odd Oldies 108.
You really should accept.
Oldies
101. Jeez, what is wrong with me? Wanna wah.
Smile, a little smile for me.
What?
Smile, a little smile.
The Cut 5, the Tim G like factor.
Cut thing. 5 is that
That's
great gay one that I love.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, every day.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636.
Right.
They're ready to believe.
Yeah, hey.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville.
He'll never love you.
That's a good song.
Way I love you.
A lifestyle-oriented program.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, no. He wouldn't make you cry.
Make you cry.
I'm gay for that song.
Yeah.
I'm so gay for that song.
You've loved it for many years.
I have. Phone scan. Here we go. 877-365-3636 from anywhere in America. Canada, 800-636-1067 in Washington, D.C. on WJFK. Our number is 202-432-1067. Here we go. These are your unscreened phone calls on the phone scan. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, it's Deacon from Baltimore.
Hi there.
When you guys get a chance, you got to check out that boxing match that you didn't see too well because Sugar Shane Mosley is practically crying in his corner every round. He bet $3 million.
Would you like a hold on? Would you like a moment to get rid of whatever that is in your throat?
Would you like to clear your throat?
Yeah, I got cancer.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's gonna be hard to clear.
Congratulations. As you know, everybody with cancer is a winner on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Listen, did you know that Sugar Shane bet $3 million on himself and lost it?
He bet on himself, huh?
Yeah.
What kind of cancer, sir?
Throat cancer.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
How long you got?
About a year, if I'm lucky. Mike, if I stop smoking. Hey, let me ask the...
Hold on, I'm trying to gauge the prize here based on your medical condition.
He's got a year, you got to give him a good prize.
Hey, let me ask Mike a question.
Yes, go ahead, I'm here for you, sir.
Mike, when you get the restaurant opened, I think it'll be a great idea.
Thanks. Look around cafe.
If you drink down there and then serve as your own bouncer, man, that would really be a creative idea for you.
Okay.
All right.
Based on what Don said. Now, who do you think would win in a fight between you and Don?
It would be a draw because we would never fight each other.
Oh, no, Mike would kill me. I've never been in a fight in my life. I've never really been
me
in
neither.
A fight.
No.
You know, a DJ in Baltimore said he saw Mike at the Ravens game, and he thought...
No, that's Don.
No, he saw... Okay,
no, I've never been to a Ravens game.
I'm sorry, he saw Don, and he said he looked like the baddest guy on the planet.
That's right, I'm a bad mother, you know what.
Is there any way I could see you on the reruns at the fight? I'd like to know how bad you look.
I think we were looking pretty bad,
yeah,
all of us.
Yeah,
look at the red eyes.
We were looking bad. Like,
yeah, but I mean, where were you sitting so I can check it out?
It's real easy to spot us. I'm to Don King's left. Mike is sitting between Sylvester Stallone and Mark Burnett. You can see Don's back as he leaves.
Right.
Listen, my friend.
Don is sitting on James Caan's lap.
Listen, man, the guy said you look like the baddest mother on the planet.
I am, yeah. Which is why.
And I'm curious as hell why he said that.
Because I'm bad. I'm bad. You know I'm really bad. Come on, I'm bad. I'm bad.
Well,
you know
what celebrity you most look like?
Tony Soprano. Listen, cancer guy.
Yeah.
Get your ass to Applebee's.
Hey, I don't have no cancer, and I don't go out of the house.
Oh, forget you.
All right.
I don't have no cancer.
Himself. He bet $3 million on himself.
Yeah, but I think that if he can get cancer in the next 2 months, you should give him that gift certificate.
Yeah, and then he's going to Applebee's with the whole family.
I love him in the smoking section.
Don and Mike Show. You know, I wanted to do, if he really had cancer,
yeah.
It'd be funny. Give him like a, say, you won a 2-year subscription to Sports Illustrated. He got a year to live. Hello.
And he didn't have a year to live. He was toying with us.
He'll probably live forever. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, totally cancer-free here.
All right. Right on. I wish I could say the same.
Oh, God.
Just got to be honest about it. Don't want to mislead you guys or anything.
That's okay. Hey, we appreciate that.
Thank you. On that special of Andy Rooney, did you guys catch this part where he actually read a letter on the air where one of the people had mentioned to him that he needed to shave his eyebrows completely clean off?
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you that it was everything that anybody's ever wanted to say about this guy.
You know,
he read the letters last night.
Andy Rooney, I would think that would make a good 15-minute special.
Mm-hmm.
You could fill up a quarter of an hour with him just shaving his eyebrows off. I'd love to see that.
And you would have to go through 3 sets of Walls trimmers to do that.
You would.
Thank you, my friend. And I loved him reading the hate mail.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Because he doesn't care anymore.
Best thing he's done.
And here, and Mike, I know you're wondering, Mr. Rooney, we're going to clip your eyebrows tonight.
Okay. You ever wonder why it's so difficult to get through this coarse eyebrow hair?
And you ever get one of those close-ups of his talons?
Oh, he's handsome.
Yeah.
He's old man. He's pure old man, isn't he?
He's like half old man turning into some type of amphibious creature.
Take a look at the lower plate.
Yeah.
Look at the choppers on the bottom. That's what you always look at with the old guys.
I only look at the hands where it looks like there's webbing, where like
right.
There used to be four fingers. Maybe now there's just two that have molded together. Well,
the second 15 minutes of that half-hour special would be him typing.
Yes. And you hear the cracking.
Yeah, and it would have to be an old-fashioned typewriter.
Flecks of skin coming off.
Hello, line five. Don and Mike, hello.
Hello, Don. I'm riddled with cancer.
You're riddled?
Absolutely riddled.
T.S. Hello, Don and Mike show.
No Applebee's for you.
Yeah. Right, Mike.
Yeah, not
Hello.
A chance.
Don and Mike show. Hello?
Yes, Don and Mike. Congratulations on your 2 days off.
Oh, that's...
No. Old.
Yeah, congratulations on getting canceled from this show. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Wonder if you could give the background or whatever on that bumper you just played coming into this segment. Seems to be... I remember something about a female reporter, but beyond that, I can't remember.
Oh, that, okay, yeah. That's her name is Holly Morris.
Holly Morris is one of the perky feature reporters on Channel 5's morning show.
She's out of control, like 18 cups of coffee before she goes on the air, and she's married to the weatherman. You got to know if you're watching the dynamic, it's funny.
She's married to Sue Palka?
Yes.
Okay, I
they went to Vermont.
Very happy.
And
a little marriage.
And
ceremony.
The background on the tape is that she's at some place where they're having a champagne party, and she's shaking up the champagne bottle and opening it.
Right.
And the way that we used to do the show, well, we could say it sounds like
Something else is happening.
It sure does.
That's why we played it all day. Is that what it was? It was champagne?
Yeah.
It's good. Oh, I'm getting it all over. Oh!
Yeah!
Yeah, right. God, she's hyper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also, I should mention in the clip, she's bottomless. Hello, Don and Mike.
Shalom, guys.
Shalom.
Hi, Goy.
Hey, what's happening? We're happy to be your goys.
No, that's... I'm just talking to Rob with that one.
Okay.
Of course, I heard you mention a Jewish holiday.
How about Goy Poloy, though? Would that be a great Three Stooges movie, Goy Poloy?
Yeah, you just make the Jewish version of Hoi Poloy.
Oh, Don, Rob is definitely your Goy Poloy. We've all figured that out by now.
Goy Poloy.
Wink, wink. Yeah, I heard you guys mention a Jewish holiday. So
yeah.
I wanted to call in.
Yeah, was that that Madonna religion?
Yeah, now is that a real holiday or is that something I read Madonna made that up?
Well, okay, first two things. First of all, Kabbalah is actually a part of Judaism. It's the mystical tradition of Judaism.
This is Michael Huffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
So it's actually a part of the religion.
It is. However, what Madonna's essentially created is like an ancient wisdom of California. You know, I guarantee you that when they find them all dead, and they find the pitcher of Kool-Aid, that Kool-Aid won't be kosher. I guarantee it.
Funny rabbi.
You know what that is? That's Applebee's, and this guy doesn't have cancer. He gets Applebee's for being a good caller.
Yes, give him Applebee's.
Hello, Don?
Yes.
I keep kosher, so Applebee's is out for me, but give it to the next caller.
Clearly they have something kosher on the menu.
They don't have kosher food at Applebee's?
Oh, they have the kosher mozzarella sticks.
Don't you have gift certificate to Apple Bombs?
Hot of Mike show. Hello.
Rob, that's pretty good.
That was good.
Hello,
Bombs.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hi.
Don and Mike.
Welcome to Apple Bombs.
Hello, welcome to Apple Bombs. We've got a fine selection of kosher foods for you.
Hello.
Don and Mike, how are you guys doing today?
Hi.
Yeah, if we're going to Apple Bombs, then I'd like to place my order. I want some shake and bake chicken. Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Hey, dude, you're so not funny.
you're not getting it.
I don't know. There's not a nice way to tell you this.
Meal.
You said Apple Bombs.
Yeah, I know, but you said Apple Bombs, meaning like it's a Jew thing. It's a Jewish thing.
Well, I'm having a kosher dinner.
No, shake and bake.
No, you're so not funny.
You think I'm getting
out? No, goodbye. We delete that call.
Just erase it.
What is it? What's the new thing we want to say now? Request denied.
Request denied.
Yeah. We're going to have Dude Walker on the show this weekend. We're going to get just a blanket dude getting very
mad. Request denied.
Yeah. With callers, we just you don't always have a snappy retort to every moron that calls the show.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and sometimes, especially after somebody's had a funny call like that Jewish fellow that called in, he was funny. Rob had a funny line, and then the next guy comes along and he just pours stuff all over it.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don.
Yes,
Mike.
Hi.
Hey,
Buzz.
Yes.
Did you know that this is the National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month this month?
I guess I'd forgotten since I was healed.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just thought I would remind you. Also,
everybody go get a colostomy. I did find a way to celebrate over the weekend, though.
A colonoscopy.
Hey, Buzz.
What was that? I missed that.
Buzz found a way to celebrate over the weekend. He did on Friday night.
Yeah.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
I had a couple questions for Mike.
Fire away.
Okay. How much did you win in Atlanta, Atlantic City or whatever, your first winnings?
Privileged information.
Is that why you bought the restaurant?
Yes, I bought it on my winnings from gambling.
Actually, look around, Cafe.
Won the restaurant in a game. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show. That's how Mike also met his first wife, Billy.
And asked for
he won her. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Honeymoon in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
but Mike was Nicolas Cage, and your first wife, Billy, was Sarah Jessica Parker.
And as far as the next question he was going to ask, request denied.
Hello.
You bet.
Don and Mike, hello. Hello.
Don?
Yes, and Mike. Phone's
okay, game. Great. Hey, you got a Canadian caller here.
The Canadian caller, Don.
Yes. I just want to tell you guys the temperature here in Canada.
All right, go.
About 1 degree.
Okay, but what is it? What is it in American?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that.
Nine stone.
Can you explain why 85% of the population borders America? Because you're ready to attack, aren't you?
Yeah, we could rally very well
from
that.
Where did you get that statistic, Rob?
I just made it up, but I think it's
that 85%
true.
Of Canada borders America.
The population of Canada is close to the border.
No, actually,
because Rob believes they're going to attack.
I read it in Hemispheres magazine.
Hello.
Really?
Not in my show. Hello. Hello,
Rob. See, some would say that it's colder, Rob, in the northern regions. That's why they'd be there. But you believe
that's
they are massing.
They want you to think.
Massing along the border.
Right, like in Vancouver and Toronto.
They're getting ready. They're massing at the border to attack us.
Step up the guard, boys.
Hello.
Here they come.
Up in Vermont, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
The next time you guys are in Vegas, you'll be at the other beach. Did you see the other beach there? You probably can't say it on the air.
Oh, you mean the topless beach?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
I found it.
I can give props to my man, Buzz.
Hi.
Buzz scoped it out, and when Buzz and I were out at the pool on Saturday, he said, are you aware there's a topless beach right around the corner? I said, baby, let's go. He said, you have to have a reservation.
Oh, really?
You don't have to, but it helps. And the place was just packed because of the fight weekend, so I couldn't get in this time, but I'm going back.
And the other thing that Buzz and I have decided... Well, first, we decided we're going to go back.
Okay.
You know, because I love vacationing now with everybody on the show, except you, because I know so little about you, Mike.
Right, exactly.
You're an enigma to me.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't
understand.
Until I read the article on you in the local newspaper, I knew what town you lived in. So,
hey, but you know my phone number.
Yeah, yes, I do.
So it would have simply been a quick call to check the exchange, and you would have been able to find out what town I lived in.
So I say to Buzz, mm-hmm. You know, we should do something like this. We should, you know, we should socialize. We should do something like this. And Buzz says that there's this topless place. And then we notice that behind us at Mandalay Bay, they have these cabanas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw those. Did you see the cabana with the TV inside?
They all have TVs, and they all have refrigerators.
Yeah, they do.
And like,
there are a bunch of guys watching the basketball game.
You get your area roped off with the velvet ropes. You got your own refrigerator. You got the big chairs with the big cushions.
And you're right next to the pool.
You got the girls.
The bikini-clad waitresses.
Yeah. The girls with the great bodies bringing you the drinks.
A little slice of heaven, isn't it?
You know, Buzz said to me, hey, really, could you imagine anything better that you're in 80-degree weather?
Right.
It's sunny. Mm-hmm. You're at a pool, you're having a cigar, you're getting drunk, and you're watching the NCAA March Madness.
Only one thing for both you guys make that a little bit better.
What's that?
Matching outfits.
Oh, yeah.
Matching cabana outfits.
Only if Buzz touches my feet.
Done.
And you can only touch my feet if you've had an accident.
Agreed.
And Mike, you can only come if you punch me.
It's Vegas fun.
You beat me up again.
Vegas fun, baby.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Are you there?
Somebody's not paying attention.
Oh, I'll go to this one. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, last week y'all said something about the cartoon that was offshoot of the video game that they had to cut out the bum shot.
Right, that's right.
They did not cut it out.
Huh.
All right, well.
I happened to be watching it, and I didn't even know I was watching it until I saw it, and I turned to my husband, and I was like, Hey, they were supposed to cut that out.
Well,
they actually showed it.
What are they supposed to cut out?
The butt of one of the people in the TV show that's based on the video game.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, she was in the shower, and the dog drilled a hole in the wall, and they showed her.
You and your food.
You should immediately, Mike, that I didn't
get those in the hot rotation.
I do. You should call the FCC immediately.
And also keep in mind that a large percentage of our news is made up.
Right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
It's good that people are looking out for those things.
I got them all right here, Mike.
Winner!
Hold on.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
There it is.
I got this one.
You're always going to have a table waiting for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe. You and your food are going on an adventure.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, yeah. I got presents Wednesday.
Ooh, cool. Last call. And you know, we're all coming out together.
Good. Yeah.
All, me and Buzz and Robbie and all the gal, we're all coming out.
Well, good. And are you going to wear your hats that I'm going to bring you?
No. No. But the hats that say O'Mara's on them?
Should I even bother bringing the hats in for you? You can give it to somebody. Give it to your son.
Okay.
I'm bringing the hats.
Okay.
Yeah, whether you like I paid for the hats. I'm bringing the hats.
I want a hat.
I'm bringing hats. I'm bringing t-shirts.
Okay. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Hey,
Buzz. I got a website. I got a website I want you to check out real quick.
You're the last caller, my friend. What's the website?
I think it'll help the show a bit.
This guy's trouble.
Yeah.
Ready?
You're trouble.
Born ready.
Go ahead.
Got my finger on the button.
E-bombs. E-B-A-U-M-S.
Okay.
World.com.
All right. Now, either this guy is on the level,
E-bombs World,
or this is some kind of awful.
No, it's a good.
What is the website about?
It's got a bunch of voices, like the callers that call in and do the voices with the movies and stuff. You can check it out. You can use it.
Oh, you mean like you're trying to like be our assistant producer out there?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, eat one, okay?
Hey.
You jerk. Do I come down to JCPenney and say to you, hey, you know
come
what?
On.
You know what I think you should do is you should rearrange the underpants so that the more at eye level. Come on, get out of here, you dope.
Guys.
I've been there. I haven't seen anything interesting there yet.
I thought E-bombs was basically a carryover from Apple bombs. That's what it is.
Storyboards.
Okay, get out of here, you dope.
Aren't you glad you called?
You idiot. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how am I? You guys rule.
Thank you. Now that? There you
go. That's a keep it simple.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, much better.
Keep it simple. We all have our hands in the air.
That's it. What's your name?
Carlos.
Hey, Carlos, where are you from?
Arlington.
Carlos, do you have cancer?
Not yet.
Okay. Congratulations. Maybe you'll catch it at Applebee's. You won a $50 gift certificate. Imagine that. What's wrong? Oh, I caught cancer.
At Applebee's.
You won Carlos.
Yeah.
You won a $50 gift certificate at Applebee's.
Oh, that's awesome.
Don't have to settle for fast food. Applebee's car side. To go now. Available at your neighborhood at Applebee's. Carlos, thank you for listening.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Okay.
Very good.
Que bueno.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Nom bleu.
Thank you, Carlos.
Cool, thank you.
Hold on, dude.
Thank you.
Always fun talking with our listeners. I like the phone scans a lot more than I like when we talk to people during the entire show.
You're absolutely right, Don. As far as Saturday night, the beating that man took. I couldn't work it in during the phone scan, so I had to throw it in right there.
The beating this man took sitting next to his radio partner. I'll tell you this, my arm is not non-blue. My arm is a little black and blue.
I saw it.
You hurt me.
Sorry about that.
You hit me.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Me.
He made it up.
I'm not doing it like that.
At my own restaurant. Him and I just...
Look Around Cafe.
Hey, listen, don't worry, Mike. Tomorrow, your place is going to get lots of pub.
Really?
Because I've got the article that you gave to the Prince William...
No, Manassas Journal Messenger.
I think it got reprinted in more than one
little... Yeah, it's a whole chain.
...newspaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
O'Mara, who bought the restaurant in November. Ooh.
We want to be a restaurant that caters to the entire family.
We do.
Okay.
We do. And
that's funny.
Thanks so much.
That's funny. That's
especially, you know, that you can do that after the beating that you took the other night.
Yeah, you got that right.
Buzz,
yes.
What's your lead story on the news and the comments today?
Today, why your toilet is cleaner than your computer keyboard.
Oh, and you know what? That's probably true.
Yeah.
That's nasty.
Wait till you hear.
True.
until you hear.
Okay.
Stay tuned,
everybody.
For news and comments.
News and coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Coming up the Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Good evening, gentle person. Here's Don and Mike.
Oh, yeah. Hey, were you awake enough yesterday to watch School of Rock on the airplane on the way back?
I watched the very end of it, and the one part I remember was the credits.
That's funny at the end where they're singing this movie
that
over.
Very fun movie. Yeah.
But there's one scene when
he's dressed up. I like the scene where he's dressed up like the guy from AC/DC.
Yeah. I told you, when I originally went to see School of Rock,
right?
I went in thinking, this is jive like an Adam Sandler movie.
Right.
But Jack Black is pretty good, pretty believable in that movie. It's got that scene where he's got the that Indian kid on the keyboard, and he just says, "Can you do this?" And then Jack Black goes, come on now, touch me, babe.
I have a question about that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If the kids are doing the putting on the hits thing, they're doing an incredible job. It really looked like a couple of them,
especially they were playing
their own instruments.
I thought the drummer was. Yeah. That's something that's hard to fake when they show a kid actually going.
Well, also the kid that on keyboards, when he does the keyboard solo, it looked like a solo that a kid would do.
And the guitarist, the lead guitarist.
If he was faking it, the guitar player was doing a great job.
Man. And the fat girl was a good singer.
Yeah,
right?
That was real.
Yeah.
That was
anyway, Touch Me. That was in the Jack Black movie. We're talking about a movie, of course. It was out 6 months ago.
Yes.
Rented.
Viramax. Viramax, get ready, everybody.
Yeah.
New copy.
What? Oh, really?
Fresh?
Yep.
That's right.
Wow.
Thank you. Here we go. Viramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Viramax, number one because it really works.
Someone called for a doctor?
Doctor developed, clinically tested, patented.
Ah.
Viramax, available at retailers nationwide. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Proud to still be a sponsor of the Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Second decade of service.
And now, here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A new study from the University of Arizona shows that your computer keyboard has more menacing microbes than your toilet seat.
That is so gross.
And think about this, especially here.
When
we went to try to look up the website of the guy that was just on the phone a couple of seconds ago, and we were on the website earlier trying to look up the guy that touched my feet.
Right. Anything here with buttons.
I mean, everything has been touched by everybody here.
Right. They say the same thing goes for your computer mouse and the keypad on your telephone. 400 times as many germs as the toilet seat.
I'm cleaning tonight.
400 times as many germs as the toilet seat on your keyboard, your mouse, and your phone pad. The study recommends that office workstations be disinfected regularly. The research shows that the average office contains nearly 21,000 germs per square inch.
Hey, you know, Joe, if you're listening in the other room, Joe Ardinger, who is also working Nombre.
Joe is regretful.
Run up to the office. I think I have an article that would be relevant to this about germs, about all the places that germs are.
Oh, well, didn't we have that guy on the show one time?
Yes.
Dr. Germ or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I got a good article from back 3 or 4 weeks ago when I had the flu about all the ways you can catch it.
Yeah.
You got to wash your hands. Isn't that the number one
thing? That's the number one thing. And wash your hands like compulsively, like Jack Nicholson in that movie.
Here's the thing, though. I haven't washed my hands since last Thursday.
Wow. Oh, you're fine.
I tell you why we're lucky is that the weekenders here are so fastidiously clean.
Yeah, absolutely. You know how much stuff falls off of their bodies?
I like to use the keyboard and then rub my eyes.
You don't do that anymore, do you?
The researchers recommend you find someplace else to eat lunch. They say your desktop is like a bacteria cafeteria.
Jeez. Hey, that rhymes.
And they say offices are like...
And you know what they say at the bacteria cafeteria?
You're always going to have a table waiting for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Bacteria, cafeteria.
Now,
Buzz, you've just given me.
Didn't see that coming.
You like look around, okay, leave me your Mike O'Mara's bacteria.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Mike O'Mara's bacteria, cafeteria.
Thanks so much.
No, I'll save it.
They say offices are like incubators with viruses surviving on surfaces for 3 days. The scientists recommend you do wash your hands frequently at work and wipe down your workspace with disinfectant pads.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea to our audience in general. Just wipe.
Yeah. Good advice.
Make it clean.
Would that be your thought of the day?
Yeah. Make it clean. Workspace. Take this however you... Just wipe.
Mm-hmm.
Wiping is good.
Now, your computer may also be notorious.
Mike, because you could have dust particles. So that's you want to get some lemony pledge.
Well, sure.
And
there's so many products nowadays.
That's right.
That you can wipe with. Your computer may also be notorious for something else. A new report is telling us what in our hearts we already knew. That technology has made it easier to be unfaithful to your spouse. That technology has sparked a massive increase in extramarital affairs. Cell phones, pagers, chat rooms, emails, and instant messaging. A survey shows that nearly a third of the people questioned admitted to using this technology to flirt with a potential partner or to nurture an affair. Nearly one in four of those people say they do it every day. Nearly a third say once a week. One in seven of the people surveyed admitted they've secretly scanned their partner's emails and phone logs.
I just want to take a moment out to say hi to a lady that works here, Joan Lotta.
Hey, Lotta.
Hey, Lotta.
How are you?
Hey, Jayla.
Come on now.
I'm thinking of you, Lotta.
All right. Don't be a clown. Wipe it down.
She's on my buddy list. And one in five say they found proof of what they suspected when they went looking through their partner's logs.
When we were in Las Vegas, I saw a TV show I'd never seen before called Cheaters.
Cheaters?
Yes. Now, this show, I mean, if there's a show for married guys called Scared Straight,
right,
it would be Cheaters. Here's the deal. I only saw one episode.
It's reality?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely reality.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a guy. It's a black guy. Got his hair. You know what he looks like? You know the Cosby kid that's grown up, Malcolm Jamal?
Oh, yeah.
He's a good-looking guy. He got the beard and the dreads. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what this guy looks like. He's a good-looking guy. And he says, I think my girlfriend is stepping out on me with a guy at the gym.
Okay.
So they say, Cheaters gets on the
wow.
So they show for 7 days in a row using the night vision lens.
Right.
They follow this girl in her car. They pixelate out her license plate, but they show her going to the health club, and they show because the health club has windows that go out on the street.
Right.
They catch the guy, the instructor, like the two times during the 7 days that they follow her, that he's got his hands on her hips as he's guiding her to help her with her movements, like her stretching. So it's something if you were looking at that, you would know if the guy's really...
Maybe he's helping her if he's a fitness... perfectly legit.
That's why on Cheaters they followed till the eighth day, until she went to the hotel.
Oh.
With him. And then they showed him walking in. And then here's where you get the payoff. So that the host, who incidentally has got stones the size of the moon. There's no way I would ever have the guts for this job. He's standing outside the hotel with the boyfriend.
And the camera.
And the camera crew. And the camera crew. And,
oh, my God.
And the woman comes out. And the man says, baby, how could you do this to me? And she says, I didn't do anything. He says, you cheated on me. You were in a hotel with that man. And then she says, I was not, and I would do anything to prove it to you. And now the host says, would you mind if we did a DNA test? And she says, we wouldn't mind at all. I wouldn't mind at all. So then he says, at Cheaters, we received the woman's panties and gave them the DNA test. And indeed, there was evidence that she had had sex with someone besides her fiancé.
How do people... I have a question. How do people sign the release form for this?
The guy,
what compels them to sign the release form?
Now, the guy who instigated this, his face is on TV and they've got his name.
Mm-hmm.
The woman, they don't reveal her name and her face is pixelated.
The whole time it's pixelated?
The whole time. But you hear her talking. You hear her say, oh, baby, there's nothing that ever happened in there. And he said, the show Cheater's been following you around.
So you think that they, because her face is pixelated, do you think they get her permission to put it on the air?
Yeah.
Do you think that they need her? Do they? Maybe they don't need her permission,
does
right?
Her voice sound altered in any way?
No, it does. Hold on,
I'm thinking if they alter
I'm tired.
you're crazy. Maybe somebody, hold on, somebody's on the phone has seen Cheaters. Have you seen Cheaters?
Yes.
Okay, am I describing the show correctly?
Absolutely. My mom is next door neighbors with Joey Greco, the host from Cheaters.
Wow.
Joey Greco.
I tell you, is that the guy with the glasses?
What a perfect name. Yeah. Joey Greco.
That guy's got some stones because he stands there and he says, in this case to the woman, you're lying, ma'am. We have video. We have followed you. We've seen you being fondled by the instructor. We saw you go into the hotel. We have the DNA.
But they can doctor tapes. They always claim that the tape's doctored.
You know, that's interesting, though. I'd love to know the behind-the-scenes process on a show like that.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, my friend, you watch that show, Cheaters?
Yeah, actually, it's not popular, but I mean, over here on the West Coast, it's on, you know, a lot more than I'm assuming you guys probably watch it. But there's actually an episode where they go out on a boat, and the kind of nerdy-looking host guy gets stabbed on the boat. He actually gets stabbed, and he kind of, you know, stumbles around, and,
wow,
you know, they push him.
The host guy, did he say the host guy stabbed?
Yes, he did.
Get stabbed.
Not surprised.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Really?
Trevor.
Don and Mike, yeah, Sacramento calling in.
How you doing, Trevor? You watch this show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. The guy got stabbed, and then they had to have a new host. And one time, a guy pulled out a gun.
Next. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Anyway, they don't run it here in the D.C. area.
The old host got stabbed.
And I'm going to do a TiVo search for it and see if anybody's ready. The show is called Cheaters.
Seems to be very popular in Sacramento.
Yeah, of course.
And I was so surprised at the very end. Executive producer, free the source.
Well, they do have websites now that will check up on your spouse. And there's computer software you can buy to find out who they've been IMing and what they've been saying in the IMs and so on.
Yeah.
Computer technology can backfire in all kinds of ways. Just ask the Bush-Cheney re-election people. On their website, there was a tool with which Bush-Cheney supporters could create a full-size campaign poster in the PDF format, like Adobe Acrobat Reader. But that website tool has now been disabled now that Bush-Cheney haters have used it to make some less-than-flattering posters.
Funny.
The posters had already been designed, complete with a paid-for-by-Bush-Cheney disclaimer at the bottom. Supporters were encouraged to fill in a short slogan of their own. But detractors logged on to create slogans like, "Run for your lives!" "They sure smell like old people," and "But not if you're gay." There were crude words, of course, in some cases, but also words like stupid, evil, and terrorist.
Also, I noticed on Las Vegas TV, I've not seen any of the ads on the D.C. or Baltimore stations. I did see the Bush ad, the anti-Kerry ad,
right?
Which to me seemed very negative this early.
Yeah, they said that this might be one of the most negative campaigns in the history of presidential elections.
It's only March, and it starts out with, you know, this is George Bush, and I've endorsed this ad. And basically, it's Kerry's a liar. Kerry wants to do everything bad. Kerry wants to take your taxes. Kerry, blah, 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 blah.
Paid for by George Bush. That's interesting, because normally you don't get that out of the...
Not this early. Yeah,
but not this early is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it had the feel of... like 2 weeks away from the election.
Yeah.
When you just say, okay, let's swing for the fences.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Was he against the war? Okay, here's what you do. Put some pictures of our GIs up there and then put him at the, like, get some GIs coming back in body bags and put Kerry up there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they're doing. And now, I've not seen the Kerry spot that is allegedly as bad as the Bush spot.
Well, he's got a reputation for fighting back, so that's why they're saying this really will be, you know, you're not going to have two guys that are going to go, oh, we could be a little nicer. I don't think it's going to happen.
So there was the website prank, and in Cleveland, a maintenance worker's been suspended from his job after using a snowplow to advertise an anti-Bush message. Michael Gerstenslager was asked to help with security.
Hey, Gerstenslager.
Gerstenslager.
Hi, this is Wolfram Juretzek from Germany.
Hi.
Never forget.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, Michael was asked to help with security when the president came to town there in Cleveland. He was asked to park a snowplow at an entrance ramp to block access to a highway that was being used by the presidential motorcade. On the big blade of the snowplow, Michael had posted a big sign that read, "Traitor." After next week's disciplinary hearing, Michael may be fired or he could just get a verbal warning.
That's funny. Buzz, hold on. We've got to do a break here so we can come back with a full segment.
All right.
Oh, is this the article that you asked for about germs?
No.
No?
Rob, I wrote a slogan in the snow. No plow.
Didn't use a plow.
Hold on. You see, you're writing jokes.
That. You took it off.
I took it. Okay.
Oh, you have to.
You need to look at it and stick it back
together. Okay, let me take. I wrote a slogan in the snow, but I didn't use a plow.
Okay. There we go.
There you go.
There it is. He's here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
I get jokes. I get jokes.
That's good.
You see, the thing is, though, you had...
You pulled it off.
It wouldn't fit on one post-it.
It was on two post-it notes, and I was
apart.
Like, what the hell? You handed
me? And I'd like to point out that both of you are wearing yellow today.
Yes, of course.
Okay, bully. You know what you can do? Come over and hit me? You want to come over and bruise me again?
No, I was just talking about Rob's joke.
Referring to the slogan.
I know. I know.
You're still worried about
this. I just wanted to bring up one last time the fact that you physically abused me this weekend in Las Vegas.
I'm sorry.
I'm considering legal action.
I'll never hit you again.
My arm is going up. Oh, can we have a tape of that?
I'll never hit you again.
I'll never hit you.
This is Mike O'Mara. I'll never hit Don again.
Oh.
I'll do another one for you, too. This is Mike O'Mara from the Don and Mike Show, and I'll never bruise Don's arm again. There you go. They're both on record now.
Yeah, very good.
This is Don from the Don and Mike Show. Mike's an alcoholic.
Thanks. Don't isolate that. Please, please don't.
Kidding.
God, I need a drink.
Okay, Buzz?
Yes.
What's next?
Up next, your airport insecurity update.
Uh-oh.
You know, going through yesterday, how would you guys rate,
Las Vegas?
The Las Vegas security.
I give Las Vegas 8 out of 10.
Rigorous.
I would say thorough would be a vast understatement.
I give them a 10 out of 10. It slowed down the line, but man, they looked at everything.
And without being unpleasant or discourteous.
No, they rocked. Pretty efficient.
They took away my bottle opener, my nail clippers, and they almost took away my crystal paperweight.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Crystal paperweight. I know that was a problem.
And dig this, I do believe that English was the first language of choice.
It was a nice experience, really, and I felt secure, but obviously Mr. Burbank has something that will make us feel a little more insecure.
That's why I'm here.
All right. Stand by. We'll be right back with more Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's Owen Wilson, right?
We got that gig from Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller was Amstel Light.
Amstel Light.
Right.
Hey, have you ever wondered how things really work in a presidential campaign? I know Owen Wilson has.
Mm-hmm.
And how a candidate really gets elected.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
Well, this is the big run-on sentences first.
Yeah, it is.
The things that go on behind the scenes?
Now you can get the whole story on Staffers, a groundbreaking new series from the Discovery Channel.
It's a show that takes you inside the campaign booble and gives you a peek at all the backstage drama that you weren't supposed to see.
Staffers is a 6-part series. It's not about the candidates. Instead, it follows a few of the people who dedicate their lives to getting their guy elected. 18-hour days, thousands of miles, and lots of caffeine.
So do like I'm going to do and vote Wilson in 04.
Owen.
Owen, not the other one.
Right.
Not the one that was in old school. The one with the funky nose. Don't miss the new exciting series, the most exciting series to hit TV this year. Tune into the Discovery Times channel Tuesday night at 8:30 for part one.
Yes, that'll give you a chance to catch up with a trio of young staffers in their quest to find a way into the West Wing. It's Staffers on the Discovery Times channel.
Thank you. Yeah, we are.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
One, two, three.
That gravy dog, the Don and Mike Show.
Somebody help me.
Somebody help me right now.
Somebody help me now.
Somebody help me now. Take out.
Somebody help me.
I'm looking for a love. Hi, Buzz.
Help me. Hi, Don and Mike.
Help.
We talked before on this show about the fact that airport security.
Looking for love. I'm looking for love. I'm looking there, looking everywhere. Looking.
Good record.
Looking.
We talked about the tough airline security in Israel, for example. Well, today, that's where your airport insecurity update comes from. The Israeli airline El Al often plants firearms in the suitcases of perfectly innocent travelers for the purpose of testing its own very tough security system.
And you know, whenever you mention that airline, I was Kal-El.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jor-El.
Superman's.
El Al.
His cousin Al.
I saw Superman this weekend on one of the channels. Did anyone give Marlon Brando a hard time for his hair in Superman after really looking back at
it? He does have
talking about with the...
He has the S curl.
Yeah, he does. I mean, and it's really kind of silly that in outer space being thousands of years in the future would have an S and a triangle on it.
Well, El Al Security...
Made perfect sense to me, Rob.
They plant these...
I know you take your comic books very seriously. And your characters.
Kal-El.
El-Al.
Jor-El. What was his mom's name? His mom was something L.
Phyllis. And, of course, after a really rich weekend in Las Vegas... Low-cal.
the idea of planting these guns in suitcases is to see if the security screeners will spot it. But after one passenger returned to Israel from Germany last week, he opened his luggage and found a pistol that wasn't his. He alerted police, who tracked down the facts and reported.
Hi, this is Wolfgang Juretzek from Germany.
Okay, gotcha. Never forget. And they reported back to him that it was a simulated weapon. LL has no comment except to say that it's now negotiating a settlement with the traveler.
Wow.
Attention, people of Krypton. This is LL. Our world is about to explode. However, I have put my baby...
Kal-El?
Clark Kent.
Kal-El.
Kal-El. Into this rocket. And what I have done is taken sheets and wrapped him in bed sheets. Mm-hmm. However, these sheets, when he gets to Earth, will be indestructible. The material cannot be ripped, cannot be torn, cannot be hurt by fire. Yet somehow, Ma Kent will take these blankets and sew them into a Superman suit.
Is that what protected Superman?
Yes.
The suit?
Yes, his suit. His suit.
Well, and... The atmosphere changed and he became impervious to pain.
Yeah, but they wrapped him up in
the blankets.
They wrapped him up in the stuff that Ma Kent made his Superman clothes out of.
Right.
If you want to become impervious to pain, all you have to do is do what I did Saturday night. I was totally impervious to pain.
I was not impervious to pain on Saturday night.
I was inflicting it on you. But you know what? My hands didn't hurt.
It's a split. It's a split that has rocked Hollywood, but it has nothing to do with marriage or romance. Tom Cruise has just fired one of his closest advisors over the Scientology thing. After months of arguing about the cult that attracts rich Hollywood stars, Cruise fired powerful publicist Pat Kingsley after 14 years. Quoting a source, he was talking more and more about Scientology. She was counseling him not to. It became an issue. Kingsley says it was an amicable parting, quoting her, "I adore the guy." Cruise has replaced the publicist with his sister, who is a Scientologist.
Ooh. How's Lisa Remini feel about that?
I'm sure she thinks that Tom did the right thing.
I wonder how that Scientology thing's working out for her. Did you see on the airplane and that filler after the movie when they had that...
The guy?
That crap piece about John Travolta?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's a little odd.
That John Travolta's big into Scientology and that his wife, who just is... She was Jerry Maguire's...
Kelly Preston.
Yeah.
The hottest.
The fiancé of Jerry Maguire. Oh, she good. Is she good? But anyway, John Travolta, I guess... They were the piece was saying how great it was that he's putting his own money into all these dumb projects,
mm-hmm. Right?
And then he put like $200 million in. What's that L. Ron Hubbard book?
Dianetics.
No.
Project Earth.
Battlefield Earth.
Right. Oh, the movie that was the worst sci-fi movie ever made.
Yeah, but how proud he was! I gotta sneeze. How proud he was. Boy, isn't that a killer?
Yeah.
You feel like it, and then it just goes away.
You want to do it. You want to let it out.
It'll sneak up on you in a second.
Oh, hello. I don't know what that was. What
you got to still have to sneeze?
The name of the father.
Not anymore.
Oh, dear.
Just spit.
There you go.
There it is.
There he is. What did you find?
Vonda.
Oh, Vonda is Superman's mom's name.
Really?
Vonda?
V-O-N-D.
Were you looking for that the whole time?
Yeah.
Yes. It's Jor-El is his dad.
Uh-huh.
He is Kal-El, and his mom is Vonda, V-O-N-D/A-H.
And she is wonderful.
Va-va-va, Vonda.
Vonda.
The Passion of the Christ earned another $31.5 million over the weekend, making it number one for three straight weeks and pushing it past the $250 million mark.
What did I tell you?
Yeah.
What did I tell you? That Jesus Christ?
Yes.
He's hot.
He's a superstar.
He is, Don.
He beat Starsky and Hutch this weekend?
Yes, he did.
What's the other big opener that that we had this weekend that it beat? There was a movie in second place that Passion of Christ
beat. Starsky was second. Hidalgo was third.
Yeah. But there was another one opening this weekend.
Hidalgo!
And that's got that dude...
Secret Window with Johnny Depp. That was number two. I got him out of order.
Number two window, you don't right? like Vigo? You're not a Vigo lover? Vonda likes Vigo.
I'm down with that guy. I'll tell you the movie.
Vonda says Vigo is wonderful.
Have you seen the movie with Michael Douglas, the remake, where he tries to kill Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah, he's the lover.
Vigo is the lover.
Yeah, he's the bad guy in that movie. He's no Jesus Christ. Jesus kicks ass 3 weeks in a row now.
And isn't Viggo in the Lord of the Rings movies?
Yes, he is.
Is it Viggo or Vigo?
I just call him Vig.
Vig.
And that's Don't Vig. Get Me Wrong.
Don't get me wrong.
I want to know. That movie's number one. 3 weeks in a row. 3 weeks in a row. Who's bigger than Tom Cruise? Jesus Christ. Who's our favorite movie star? Who's better than Harrison Ford? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Still, numero uno.
Oh, that's scary. Why is that disturbing?
What if God was one of us?
I'm going to turn the water into wine.
Joe.
Somebody, what did he say? Somebody jacked the wine.
Somebody jacked the nails.
And remember the fourth commandment, thou shalt not jack.
In sports, like father, like sunsicle, the recently deceased John Henry Williams is joining his dad, baseball great Ted Williams, on ice. John will be frozen at Alcor, the controversial cryogenic facility in Arizona.
He's not retarded.
Yes, he is.
And it should be a slice of heaven for NASCAR fans with a new 3D IMAX show about the sport.
Mm.
It includes behind-the-scenes footage and point-of-view shots that put the viewer behind the wheel. The film starts with a high-speed chase involving Smokies and Moonshiners, much as NASCAR itself began.
That's right. That's why they did it.
And
great
finally,
great one yesterday. Dale Jr.
Dale Jr. won another one.
Nice victory for the 8 car.
Yeah.
The 8 car.
And you're getting better.
You know what?
You're getting better at that. Are you going to go memorize them?
Well, I think that tomorrow I might be up for your challenge. Yesterday in the airport, I was just too sleepy and too tired to play the game. But
I bought a book.
We had a magazine yesterday, and Mike was like saying the number of the car.
Yeah, and they're not many. I mean, how many total are there?
There's like 30 of them.
30 cars?
About 30 of them. I got maybe half committed to memory.
Yeah, number 88 car?
Dale Jarrett.
Yeah.
UPS.
Is that what it is?
UPS car, Dale Jarrett.
Brown car.
Right.
And finally,
everybody wants to drive the truck.
So maybe you're not one of the guys who'd be willing to take Viagra or Cialis or any other anti-impotence pill, but remember the last time you had too much beer and a hookup? A Dutch company that makes a food supplement called Paraxine discovered that it's good for a hangover because it helps flush the alcohol out of your bloodstream. Now, British researchers have discovered it's also good on the night of drinking and lovemaking. Quoting one researcher, it will help with those pesky post-drinking moments.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That's it. We got to go. We will be back tomorrow with a new episode. We'll see you then. Thank you, everybody. Good day to you, sir.
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 Okay, now you leave now so that you don't hit me on the way out.
I won't hit you anymore.
I know you won't. Thank God you were there with your bandages, Rob.
Put some ice on that arm.
Okay.
So long.
All my very best.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.